The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday. It's June 28th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning in the news this morning. In what is being called the largest settlement in Pennsylvania court history, after nearly 4 years, the victims of a deadly food truck explosion will receive $160 million plus an additional confidential amount. The food truck erupted in a ball of fire on a street corner in Feltonville on July 1st, 2014, killing the owner of the truck and her teenage daughter. Last week, federal authorities announced indictments against U-Haul and the manager of its Hunting Park location, alleging violations of hazardous material codes. The owner of the food truck filled the propane tank at U-Haul. Investigators claim it was not done properly, and that caused a leak and ultimately the fatal explosion. Along with the two victims who were killed, three others were severely burned, and even more were injured.
Do you remember the footage of the explosion?
Yeah.
I thought it was miraculous that not more people were killed. It looked huge.
Yeah. The burn victims are minors, and they were not named in the settlement for privacy reasons. They have a lifetime of suffering and medical procedures, plastic surgery, and dysfunction, and we hope this gives them an opportunity to rebuild their lives as much as they can, said attorney Robert Mongaluzzi. The estates of the two women killed are also receiving about $36.5 million as part of this suit. Since the tragedy, there are new safety standards for checking and maintaining propane tanks. The one that exploded in this case was 70 years old.
Oh, my God.
The pilot who fled the landing, after landing his plane on a beach in Cape May, New Jersey, has been arrested. 51-year-old James Dalen Jr. surrendered to authorities on Wednesday morning. He was charged with criminal trespass and faces up to 18 months in prison. Cape May County Prosecutor Jeffrey Sutherland said additional charges may be filed. Dalen is a mechanic for Paramount Air Services, the banner plane company that owns the Piper PA-12. The owner of Paramount Air says the pilot is her stepson who took the plane after hours on Sunday night.
I'm so mad because I actually left early on Sunday because we had to do Delco v. Bucksco early on Monday morning.
And you missed the show.
Well, normally I'm there. Normally I like to stay until the sun sets around 8:30, and then I leave after the sunset. Well, this time I'm like, okay, we do our conference call at 6. I'm going to leave right after that.
You could have been on the news. That would have been Delco resident underneath your room.
I've always wanted to see something like this.
Yeah. The banner on his
Delco
name.
Resident.
Delco resident.
Right. By the way, Kathy, when you mentioned this story the other day and the stepson was brought up, I was thinking
me
22
too.
Years
so
old.
Did I. And then you just said 51.
I know. As soon as I read this story yesterday.
I thought
yesterday,
it was like a punky teenager who just got the keys. He's a senior citizen.
It was the first thing I thought of when I read the story yesterday. It came in as breaking news. 51. I'm like, well, then how old was the mother? Because she didn't
Mom.
Yeah, she didn't sound that old.
She did not. No,
he had to have been drunk or something, right? And that's why you. Well, I mean, so you're going to flee no matter what, but.
He turned himself. That was dangerous. He was coming close to the people on the beach.
He
was like boats, houses.
He was pitching very hard to the left and right. Yeah, it was very dangerous.
So officials say that Dalen flew farther south, and that just before 8 o'clock, the plane landed on the beach inside the secure Coast Guard training facility in Cape May.
Sounds like my 51-year-old did that one.
Seriously.
Yeah, he's a scamp.
So he tried to us.
He tries to imitate his older brother, the 62-year-old.
So apparently he tried to.
It's like stepbrothers. Right. This is what it is. Yeah, yeah. Were they wearing Wookiee masks?
He tried to take back off but from the beach, but he couldn't. So he ran. He literally left the plane and ran.
Steve, they saw a man running with a samurai sword.
I know. And, signed by Randy Jackson.
The plane was not damaged in the incident. There was one picture, that one that they pulled up. I thought it looked like the nose was down in the sand, but they said that the plane was fine. It wasn't damaged.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah. Authorities arrested 40 people and seized more than $20 million in guns, drugs, cars, gold, and cryptocurrency after a massive year-long undercover operation targeting underground activity on the internet. The sprawling operation involving vendors on the dark net led to the seizure of more than 100 guns, more than $20 million in Bitcoin, more than $3.6 million in U.S. currency and gold bars.
How do you seize Bitcoin?
I was wondering the same thing. It's virtual.
Yeah, I know, but like you have like a Bit wallet and... What are those little things that you stick into the USB?
A fob, like a USB
drive? So it's like on there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So prescription pills and drugs, including Xanax, oxycodone, MDMA, cocaine, LSD, and marijuana. Homeland Security investigators.
Wow.
From New York posed as money launderer on the underground market sites and exchanged hard currency for virtual currency. The operation led to the opening of dozens of cases against vendors around the country and to more than 90 active cases around the country. Homeland Security investigators and postal inspectors conducted a series of subsequent arrests and the impending prosecution of more than 35 darknet vendors.
The other thing about Bitcoin is that its actual value is so all over the map. Like, I wonder how much it's actually worth the stuff that they seized.
You're right. It's very volatile.
Right.
Like up and down constantly.
Right.
Well,
right.
I guess they could they put the dollar amount on because they were paying U.S. dollars. They were paying actual money for the Bitcoin.
Well, it's essentially what, like, so they seized gold as well, right?
Yeah.
So gold was worth a different amount yesterday than it is
today.
Right,
right, right.
Cryptocurrency is the same way. And
okay.
So Bitcoin specifically, it shot up to being worth $16,000 per Bitcoin at the end of the year last year. Now it's kind of around 7-ish. You know what I mean? It's still worth a lot of money. One Bitcoin is worth $7,000.
Right.
But, you know, it's just like gold.
It's more erratic.
Yes.
Crazy, though. I mean, yeah. What? Mm-hmm. That's an interesting bust for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's do sports this morning.
All sacks are yummy.
Zach Eflin stayed perfect in June, allowing just 4 hits over 7 shutout innings, and Rhys Hoskins hit a 3-run home run to help the Phillies beat the New York Yankees 3-0 last night at the ballpark.
They did it!
Eflin, who won his 5th straight start and was 5-0 in June, has helped to keep the Phils in the National League East race. He became the first Phils pitcher to win 5 starts in a month since Cole Hamels went 5-0 in May of 2012. The Phillies trail the Atlanta Braves by 2.5 games, and the Nationals are 3.5 back. The Phils and Nats open up a 4-game series tonight in South Philly, and Aaron Nola gets the start. Game time is at 7:05. Germany, who were the World Cup champions in Brazil in 2014, were knocked out of the group stage in their attempt to repeat, losing 2-0 to South Korea on 2 stoppage time goals.
I was just watching an inspirational video from David Hasselhoff yesterday. He's going to be crushed.
Repeating as World Cup champion is very difficult and hasn't been done since Brazil did it in 1962. 3 of the last 4 champions haven't advanced to the knockout rounds in the following tournament, let alone win the whole tournament again. Germany joins Spain, Italy, and France, who all fell in the opening round 4 years after winning it all. In the other matches from yesterday, Sweden shut out Mexico 3-0, Brazil beat Serbia 2-0, and Switzerland and Costa Rica tied at 2. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what happened for you this morning.
All right, thank you, Kathy. And we'd like to welcome you to day 4 of Busco versus Delco.
I'm tired.
Are you really from it?
I haven't even been playing it. I told Preston the other day, I would eat a bullet rather than put the work into coming up with. He loves doing game stuff. I find it energy sucking. You know, like it's just crazy to keeping. I'm not good with numbers.
It's a bit, and actually, Casey and I spoke on the phone yesterday because I got a little snippy with him on the air, and
vice versa.
And apologies back and forth. We put a lot of work into this, and it's not perfect, and I made some mistakes in the
meticulous
pyramid,
and
this and that. And listen, here's the one thing I found out: no matter, and this is from reading social media posts and everything, whoever you're pulling for is being cheated somehow or another.
No
matter what side you're on, it's unfair for that side. It doesn't matter who's leading or not.
I have learned one thing over the past couple of years on social media. You are perpetually right, and everyone else is wrong and evil.
Yes.
But I honestly don't know how anybody could feel that way about Bucks County, because it's really all against Delco. So, like, I would love to hear the argument the other way around.
But see, you're reading your comments.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I was like, God, why? I didn't know anybody hated Bucks County.
I know. So I was reading Casey's comments. I'm like, oh, I was really beating myself up about having done such a horrible job, and it slanted towards Casey. And then I started reading your comments.
And it slanted towards Casey.
I would love to hear those arguments, because I'm trying not to feed into it, right?
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I read all of my comments. I'm like,
You're right.
They're right.
Yeah.
And make no bones about it, guys. I want to win this mother effing contest.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Yeah. And I know you do, too.
Yeah.
So I read these. So I would love to read the Bucks County comments.
You should.
And I'm like, I would love to see if they're making sense, too.
All right. Okay. To even it out. Yeah. Fair and balanced.
I got to a nice, nice place later in the afternoon yesterday and into the evening. And
Did you take a Calgon bath?
I got into like a nice Zen moment about this whole thing. I put it all into perspective. And then I woke up this morning pissed off again.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because it's freaking 4:30 in the morning. Who wakes up in a good mood?
I noticed on social media, Casey did a little fishing yesterday. He threw out that he was preparing his concession speech for mayor of Delaware County, and he got a lot of comforting responses from his audience.
Yeah.
Yes, to hang in there and don't give up, and you got this, and all the support and everything. Yeah. So.
My favorite was Kathy for mayor.
Yeah, yeah, that as well. My favorites were Gary Lauer for mayor. There were plenty of those.
But for Kathy, I said, well, she does live closer to Delco than she does Busco. So.
All right. So anyhow, obviously it continues. We have 2 days left, but we're going to do two different contests this morning. Yesterday, we sent everybody out of the studio via helicopter, and it's our friends at Platinum Helicopters. Thanks again for that. Today, you stay in the studio. It's pretty low key as far as the moving parts of these. But we have two contests we're going to do today.
It worked out well. Had we have attempted to do anything helicopter-based today, I think we would have been screwed.
And we will see if we can add to those point totals. So far, it's Bucks County 730 and Delaware County 520 points. But that's nothing, man. Friday, it could all change.
So
that's tomorrow, by the way.
Preston has meticulously designed this so that we can literally get down to the last play of the game and everything could shift.
All right. So anyhow, we will get that started in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. Busco versus Delco, day number 4. Besides that, a couple of guests on the program. We're going to have comedian Tom Rhodes here. He's got one show at Punchline tonight, and then 2 on Friday.
No,
and
Saturday. One each night.
Oh, one each night. Okay, yeah. Friday and Saturday. So Tom is stopping in. We'll see him today, and we're doing a follow up interview with a man who broke the color barrier in the NHL, Willie O'Ree. Has been selected for induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
One of my favorite recent interviews. Man. Just a really cool guy and a part of a pivotal point in history and such a fan and supporter of hockey.
So we'll do a quick conversation with him and just get his emotions and how he feels about being inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is a very, very cool thing. So those things and more are taking place. We have some giveaways through the course of the morning. Oh, and a reminder, Philly's Hottest. We're looking for Philly's Hottest swimsuit. This time around. And those submissions, we need them. We need them as soon as we possibly can get them. There's over $1,000 in jewelry and gift cards from Steven Seeker Jewelers, $1,000 in cash, professional photo food.
This food is not real. These are just pictures of a meal.
Allison Dunlap Photography. So you got to go to PrestonandSteve.com and click on contest and submit those 5 pictures. So get on it as soon as you can. We announced the Belly Flop Championship yesterday. That's coming up July 19th. Details on as well on the website. Please, we need contestants for that, too. So get those details. And the party is free to the public if you're at least 21 years or older. But get the information, like I said, on the website and come and join us for that on July 19th. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. We'll have the entertainment report and a stupid question with giveaways when we get back. Stay put this morning.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
MMR celebrates 50 years of...
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's dive right into it and give you a stupid question. And we are going to give away some tickets to Six Flags Great Adventure for the correct answer to this. So the Playboy magazine, The Bunny, although often hidden, has appeared on every magazine cover except which one?
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. 215-263-WMMR.
It's just one?
There's only one cover that has never been on.
Oh.
and which one is that? And there's always a bunny somewhere. Sometimes it's big and blatant and clear, and other times it's hidden, and you really got to search for it.
Can look like a little blemish sometimes.
Yeah, or a little in the hair of the girl that's on the cover.
Yep.
Let's see if you know. There was only one cover that didn't have one. Which one was it? 215-263-WMMR. Today is Thursday, June 28th. Some birthdays to go through. Actress Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yes.
In movies like Some Kind of Wonderful. It's one of my personal favorites. Benny and June, At Close Range, Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah, she's a solid actress. Good character work.
52 today. Aileen Quinn.
Oh, I like her.
Is from Yardley, Pennsylvania.
Oh, here she is. No kidding.
Casey's all-time favorite movie.
Or
all-time favorite musical.
Oh, I was going to say Stand By Me.
No, she's an Annie.
Then I'm thinking of somebody else. No, I'm thinking of somebody else.
She plays Annie, does she not?
Yeah, she plays Annie.
Yeah, yeah.
Who in Stand By Me were you thinking about?
No. I said something, and then you said Stand By Me, and then I was like, that's somebody. Never mind.
He said your all-time favorite movie, and you thought Stand By Me.
Oh, and I thought Stand By Me.
Right. You said Yardley, and he got so flustered because you were connecting it to him somehow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Aileen Quinn, she played Annie, and I know you love Annie.
I do. It's my favorite musical.
Okay. So she's 48 years old.
There we go. It's all been cleared up, and God is in his head.
Got it all
straight. My bad.
Kathy Bates. Great actress.
Funny you should bring this up, Preston, because there was an episode of The Love Boat on Sunday night.
Shut up.
The young, fairly hot bride, brand new bride, trying to enjoy her honeymoon trip, Kathy Bates.
No way.
Stop it.
Like, picked up and swept up and put in the bed by the guy, Kathy Bates.
I would have to, I don't know what she looked like when she was younger. Because
I do now.
She really didn't come into her own until later on.
I wouldn't say she was a knockout, but she looks completely different. I said to my wife, that's Kathy Bates from Misery. Mm. And she's like, what?
Wow.
I mean, her face is...
Right there.
Oh.
Okay.
Definitely not a knockout.
All right, anyhow, Kathy Bates.
Wait, is her husband the guy from Airplane?
Robert Hayes.
Robert Hayes
is Epstein. I thought the same thing.
Were any of those guys an Annie?
Every one of these guys played Sandy.
Okay.
We haven't even gotten to Bosco versus Delco yet, and it's already getting confusing. But a lot of great movies. Misery about Schmidt.
She played Daddy Warbucks.
Dolores Claiborne. She's great. She's 70 today.
Dolores Claiborne, a very underappreciated movie.
It's a great movie.
Yes.
And it's a dark movie.
Disturbing.
And then you have the great Mel Brooks.
Yeah!
Oh, my God. Celebrating his birthday today. Yes, happy birthday.
Inquisition.
Let's begin.
The Inquisition.
Look out, Sam.
We have a mission to convert the Jews. We're going to teach them
wrong from right.
We're going to help them
see the light
and make an offer that they can't refuse.
That's a great movie.
I just watched the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Carl Reiner, and they spent a lot of time with Mel Brooks, too. And those guys have dinner together every night. Mm-hmm. They watch Jeopardy every night, and then they go get ice cream. And they spend Mel Brooks spends a lot of time breaking down his movies to Jerry in ways that I didn't know about before. So if you're a Mel Brooks fan, I highly recommend you watch that episode.
And he's got a great outlook about him. I watched that, if you wake up, read the obit, and if you're not in it, have breakfast. He's great. He's 90 years old. He's loving life. He's a happy guy.
The love of his life was Anne Bancroft, who passed away years ago. But if you take his body of work, and later on it became more slapstickish, but if you start with earlier films like The Producers, like The 12 Chairs, which is a great movie that not a lot of people have seen. He's not in it. It's slightly different, Mel Brooks, but it's a comedy. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that episode, by the way, was from 2012, and Preston and Carl and Jerry have a conversation in a diner about reading the obituaries, and I think the title of that movie came from that episode. So it's on Netflix if you want to check it out.
The great Mel Brooks, 92 today. John Cusack also has his birthday. He is 52 years old.
I had a friend who just went and saw him, like what Cary Elwes did here a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, An Evening With. And what movie were they, or is it just his career?
It might have just been his career, but he was in North Jersey. I thought it was maybe Say Anything, but...
That would be a good one to do.
That would,
because
right?
Of the Cusack films, that's one of the most iconic.
You know what movie I've checked in and out of a few times but never watched beginning to end? And the segments that I've seen, I've kind of enjoyed, is High Fidelity.
It's good.
I've never watched it from beginning to end.
It's got a nice resolution to it.
He comes up with these music lists of, you know, they're like series of songs for girls that he's had
relationships. Right, yeah.
And it's an interesting concept.
It's based on a book that was a big hit. And I think that's, some people have said the book is better.
That was the first time I saw Jack Black sing, was in that movie.
Okay. So John Cusack is 52. Like I said, John Elway, former NFL star, is 58 today. And then the last birthday I saw is Elon Musk.
Ah.
Elon Musk is 48 years old, and my God, does he have his hands in a lot of stuff. Just pull up his...
One of them was Amber Heard for a while.
Yeah.
And that was pretty good.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
He had his hand in that.
He is that... he is a... the classic type of innovator, the classic type of Howard Hughes kind of person, you know, who just, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done.
By the way, here, Nick pulled up his Wikipedia page. He extended his studies for 1 year to finish the second bachelor's degree while at University of Pennsylvania.
There you go.
He went to Penn.
He's one of those guys who, as with Steve Jobs, he sees things we don't see, you know? It's very cool.
SpaceX and Tesla, and he's had his hands in movies and all kinds of stuff, man.
Of the things, he's building a subway system that's in L.A. He's doing one that's going to stretch between the Pacific Coast and Hawaii underwater.
The Hyperloop, right?
The Hyperloop, yeah. He's got all sorts of stuff planned.
Yeah. I tell you what, just go on YouTube and pull up some SpaceX videos, and it's so cool.
It's right out of 50 science fiction.
Yep, so he's 48 today. Happy birthday, and everybody celebrating birthdays. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. The bunny, although often hidden, has appeared on every magazine cover of Playboy except which one? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to Mark for the answer. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Mark, what's the answer? What's the only issue you won't find the bunny on?
The first issue.
Yeah, the first issue. Yep.
They originally, Preston,
hang on, Mark,
had picked the possum to be their animal.
The possum?
Yeah.
And it took them until they got to the second issue.
Because they could not see women dressed as possums in a nightclub.
Yeah. So would they just get the idea, after the second issue?
I guess so.
The first issue was basically, the famous Marilyn Monroe photographs and everything, those were already out there, and Hefner purchased them for the magazine.
Yeah, so he was trying it out.
He's trying to piece everything together.
Sure enough, and then I guess maybe they didn't have the logo finalized by
then. He was a married guy living in the suburbs, working out of a room in his house, and decided to try his hand at magazine publishing.
Was Marilyn Monroe a thing at that point?
She was a thing, but she was a very new thing.
Okay. But the pictures were taken before she was just doing some modeling.
Yeah.
And the acting career hadn't taken off. So he got a hold of them and created the magazine empire. We have a pair of tickets to Six Flags Great Adventure. Coca-Cola presents July 4th Fest at Six Flags, daily June 30th through July 4th. Save on admission and get exclusive early ride times with any can of Coke. And that's 5 days of fireworks, Coke, and Six Flags. It's the area's most thrilling celebration. We'll begin with this. Joe Jackson, the patriarch of the legendary Jackson family, including Michael, Janet, and Jermaine, has passed away. He was 89 years old and died yesterday in a hospital in Las Vegas. I don't think that was the
audio. Was that the audio? Okay.
No. Jackson, not that Joe Jackson.
My bad. Is it this Joe Jackson?
No, that's the same Joe Jackson who you just played a moment ago. Different Joe Jackson.
Anyhow,
no, wrong one. So Jackson, whose immediate family was said to have been kept away from him in his final days, had been battling a string of health issues in recent years, suffering a stroke and several heart attacks in 2015, and recently was reportedly suffering from stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Joseph is survived by his estranged wife, Catherine, and surviving children, Rebbe, Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, Latoya, Marlon, Randy, Janet, and his love child, Giovanni, who was from an outside relationship. Joseph, as he was called by all his children with wife, Catherine, was born on July 26, 1928 in Fountain Hill, Arkansas, later moved to Indiana with his family. He and Catherine and their brood settled in Gary, Indiana, when Joe was employed as a steel worker, fought as an amateur boxer, and played guitar in a semi-pro blues band called the Falcons. Joe, who possessed limited talent and served as the Jackson 5's manager will forever be synonymous with the stereotypical sadistic stage parent, with countless stories leaked through the years of his savage battery of his sons while grooming them for stardom.
And he was, I mean, we've seen, you've seen that, there was that one TV movie with Lawrence Hilton Jacobs playing Joe Jackson. And apparently it was fairly accurate. He was a real hard ass.
And according to daughter LaToya, sexually abusing her and her older sister, Rebby. When the band broke from Motown in 1975 to sign a lucrative deal with Epic Records, son Jermaine was torn due to the fact that he was married to Motown chief Berry Gordy's daughter, Hazel.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe forced his son to choose between his brothers and wife, and whoa, Jermaine stuck with Motown, forbidding the family to stay in contact
wow
with him.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a rat prick, this oh, yeah, guy.
Well, you know, stop and think about this. Look at the Beach Boys' dad. Similar story. Like a real, really hard, abusive, you know, like with Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson lost that hearing in his ear because his dad hit him in the side of the head.
Upon Michael Jackson's meteoric multi-platinum success with Thriller, Joseph strong-armed Michael to tour with his brothers in order to share the spotlight.
I don't want it.
And spread the wealth with the family. That was the Victory Tour, which
yes,
you remember.
Yes, yeah.
Janet also chafed under Joe's direction, parting ways with him professionally in time to release her 1986 blockbuster Control, and Michael left his father nothing in his will, by the way.
Did the clip make it over? It's both Michael and Janet, mostly Janet talking about Joe Jackson.
Okay. Michael and Janet, yep.
Yeah.
All right, here is that clip.
Did he ever beat you? Yes, he did.
If my father and my mother doesn't know the meaning of abuse, then what is it? Because burning a match to your toes and letting your toes just burn with fire while you're asleep and he's laughing, is that abuse or not?
It was labeled Janet, but it sounded like LaToya.
Whoa. Wait, and when was that? When did she make that comment?
It was a couple of years ago. I'd say maybe probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
All right, and this is Joe himself explaining why he was so strict.
Well, I had to be like that way because during those times it was hard, and you had a lot of gangs there, you know, in the area where we were living, Gary, Indiana, and I had to make sure that they didn't get in any type of trouble and things of that sort.
Yeah, he had said that. His kid's never been in jail before.
Yeah.
Is one of the quotes he had said. And
how many are there?
There were, hang on, total? I rolled through all of them.
Donnie. Yeah.
Well, why are you, look, not that you should be abusing children, but when you have a large family, I feel like they have to be more strict to keep everybody in line.
I think you should be burning
your kids' toes.
I understand exactly what you're saying. And I think you're right. You probably have to be a little more strict to keep everything together.
Yeah.
We had 9 kids. But here, Michael was saying, and this was sitting with Oprah, he said, yeah, he would tear you up if you missed. And so not only were we practicing, talk about dance moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not only were we practicing, we were nervous rehearsing because he sat in this chair and he had a belt in his hand. And if you didn't do it the right way, he would tear you up.
Yeah,
he said
but,
he would really get
that.
You.
Okay.
He said, I got it a lot of times. He said, but I think my brother Marlon got it the most. But the others were very nervous. And I was nervous, too. You know, he said he was tough. So he would beat them for their performance.
Yeah.
Issues. So,
and by the way, his own personal style made Don King look conservative.
Yeah,
Preston, you mentioned the illegitimate child, Giovanni Jackson. Yeah. What I didn't know until just now is that was the product of a 25-year long affair.
Wow!
So he and Cheryl Terrell, who was Giovanni's mom, had an affair that lasted 25 years.
That's wild.
I wonder if the mom knew about it.
She must have.
My guess is yes.
And he was so abusive that he's like, you know, bitch, stay in line. I'm going to have this on my side. You know,
maybe.
Well, eventually the family rallied to mom's support.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Remember the last we heard about his business ventures, he was doing things like selling cologne in Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a kiosk.
And in fact, remember he was promoting that. Was it at Michael's funeral or something like that? There was a
yes,
or not that, but
like
a new
like a music
artist
or something. Yeah,
something coming up. And of course, we know Catherine opened up a cardboard sandwich. Kiosk.
That's like a cardboard. A new place I'm opening up in the mall called Cardboard to Go.
Yes. Yeah, so anyhow, so he has passed.
Good riddance.
He had been ill for a couple of years. All right, on to some other stuff. The Wrap reports that Jacinda Barrett, former fiance of Talking Dead host Chris Hardwick, defends her ex against accusations of sexual assault, and she demands that there be better due process for men accused of such things.
You remember Jacinda? I believe she was on the Real World?
Yeah, she was. She was in London, but she's on the show that Kathy and I talk about from time to time called Bloodline. She's a good actress.
So she said she was once a cast member, like you said, of MTV's Real World, dated Hardwick in the 90s while he was a host of MTV's Singled Out. Hardwick's ex, of course, Chloe Dykstra, outlined a pattern of abuse and sexual assault from an unnamed ex-boyfriend with details that implied that it was him in a post on Medium. Barrett posted a message on Instagram defending Hardwick. She said, "This past week, I've watched someone I once loved and shared 4 years of my life with be publicly accused of misconduct and abuse, then swiftly fired and shunned. The accuser's story bears no resemblance to the one that I shared with him all of those years ago, But what is of supreme importance here is that every woman and every man deserves a voice. Accusers and accused. Everyone deserves to be heard. A rush to judgment denies the right to due process. The Me Too movement deserves due process."
He's had a couple of people step up, a couple of former girlfriends, and
I forgot who the other one was,
and defend him. Yeah. So, and then this, in light of the fact that there were additional correspondence between him and the accuser, that seemed to suggest she was interested in getting back together with him, at least gives cause for some of the people who've terminated him to perhaps reconsider that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, her, but, you know, of course, hers comes out first. She's the female, so you're reading it, and you're like, God, that's terrible.
Right.
More importantly, real quick, when does Bloodline come back? Does anyone know?
Oh, I'll find out.
Okay, thanks.
By the way, the Blast reports that rapper and poet Common and actress Tiffany Haddish sparked dating rumors.
Woo-hoo!
After leaving a late-night party together on Wednesday, he escorted the actress and comedian past photographers and into the back seat of a waiting black SUV that he also got into.
Let Common go into one of his raps, and she'll get out of that car pretty fast. Society, it's what it's got to be. It's you and me, all together, the two, the three. We move forward and backward through light and day. Where are we going for dinner?
Is that his style?
That's his thing.
Okay. They're both filming a new movie called The Kitchen, starring her.
The kitchen, the appliances, the food. That's where it all is. The to-do list. But will you do the list? And is the list about doing or being?
Damn, Steve, you're pretty good, man.
I know, dude. I feel this like I need to give you some, like,
well, that, bongos. It drives me nuts because I'm like, shut up! It's just a kitchen.
Was that called beatnik?
Like street poetry. Is that what it is? Yeah, it's not exactly street poetry, but he does a commercial for
beat poets.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the movie called The Kitchen is starring Haddish, Elizabeth Moss, and Melissa McCarthy. So they're all in that together, but there might be a thing going on. We'll see. In an interview with the Associated Press, Shaquille O'Neal, who stars in the movie Uncle Drew, described his Hollywood aspirations as wanting to be as big as Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, he's already about 3 feet taller.
He is. But he went on to say that the both are former athletes in transition, and he'd like to get into similar movies like thrillers, comedies, and dramas. He said, I want to do a thriller where I'm a hero and beat up all the bad guys. He also went on to say, Steven, you will love this.
Right.
His favorite movie?
Yeah.
Step Brothers.
Oh!
He said, all day, every day, I know that movie by heart.
I'll tell you what, and again, I have to sing his praises because I saw this sports, you know, Brian Gumbel show. What is it called? 48 hours?
Inside, 22, no, real sports.
9 days in,
Real Sports with
whatever
Brian
hell,
Gumbel.
Right, okay. So they did a thing about him and his business empire, which he has been working for years, but his methodology, and he holds himself to a super high standards.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you see him in those general commercials, the insurance commercials.
Yeah.
He actually called up the company and they're like, I use your service or whatever. I would like to talk about being an endorser. And, or for the Ring doorbell. He used a Ring doorbell, liked it, called up the guy, and now he's part owner of the company.
That's pretty crazy. So, all right, he was in Blue Chips, right? And that was a good movie, and he was good in it.
I liked it.
And then he made a couple of bad decisions where he was a genie and and a robot.
Yeah.
Cyborg Steel? Or something like that. Real Steel.
Steel.
Jack Steel.
No, is it just Steel? I think it was just Steel.
Called Steel, yeah.
Not 100% sure, but Kazam was the other one.
He was in a rap song where he rapped a supercalifragilistic. Jack is Aladocious.
He had auditioned for the Rachel McAdams
in The Notebook?
In The Notebook.
Oh, really?
But there was a height difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, didn't quite match up eye to eye.
You were away.
What was the most recent one, Casey? The friends that get back together. Adam Sandler and
Grown-Ups 2.
Yeah,
he's in that. He's actually in one that was. He's in. Yeah, so he's having fun.
Listen, he
basically doing dress up because he's playing these different characters. He had a fake bald spot in that one. It was actually funny. He's funny. Yeah. He's funny.
I think he really gets it. And so they have this lineup on TNT for the NBC.
Yeah.
He's awesome on it. And he and Charles Barkley together, I mean, they sort of bookend it.
I love it. I love seeing them go at each other.
And they go at each other.
And they're not even that crazy wrapped up in their basketball careers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people are saying Shaq Fu. Was that a movie?
Shaq Fu. I was thinking Shaq Fu.
Do it quick. Okay.
There's something on the screen right here that's a video game. Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn.
Go down.
Video game? All right. Scroll down on that if you would, please.
It would be in the 90s.
What was the name of the sci-fi movie where he was a cyborg?
Well, it was Steel.
Steel. There you go. Right there.
You were right about that.
He played John Henry Irons.
Kazam. All right. So, anyhow. Don't know about all that Shaq Fu stuff. But
I don't know if Shaq Fu was maybe his rap name.
He wants to be as big as Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so we'll see. ELN Lime reports that actress Amber Tamblyn revealed that her agent was told by a Warner Brothers executive that Tamblyn should lose some weight after the success of Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2. Her agent was told that she was going to be a huge star, but she needed to lose weight. Tamblyn said she was 21 at the time, telling E, I think at that point I was 128 pounds and I'm 5'7".
Well, the thing is that they were rewriting the script to say Sisterhood of the Traveling Maternity Pants to accommodate.
She said, I remember my agent saying to me, and she was a woman, you have a real choice here. You can either be Nicole Kidman or you can be a character actress. So, but listen, that's the harsh reality of acting. Sometimes there's a body type that becomes more successful, and that's not always the
case. No, it's not. A lot of times, though, there will be these stories of these outlandish. You'll have these people who are by all
stick thin.
Yeah,
yeah.
You need to take off 30 pounds.
No,
what?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, but that like is, you know, it's like the professionals.
Yes.
Okay. You know, you could be a professional basketball, baseball player, but you have to meet this list of criteria.
Yeah, there are physical requirements.
I think it's right? I don't know, but it sort of is what it is.
Yeah, sometimes if it's right for the role, right. You know, if you're playing a femme fatale, you know, you can't be Kathy Bates. You have to be Kathy Bates on the Love Boat and not Kathy Bates in Misery.
And then
even guys, you don't have to be, you know, to be a leading man. I mean, look at Paul Giamatti.
Well, yeah, that, and, you know, Kevin James.
Sure.
But you have that. But then also, let's look at, like, Melissa McCarthy or, you know, you definitely have types. But
I think it should be the way it is in nature, with incredibly plain men and insanely gorgeous women.
Right.
Just like Hollywood depicts it.
Right. Hey, how about this? TMZ reports that the star of Long Island Medium, Teresa Caputo, and her husband, Larry, are moving forward with a divorce.
What?
After 28 years of marriage.
So I ended up watching a couple of those shows. Maybe we were on a vacation or an extended weekend.
Oh, my God.
She's a weird thing to look, because she's actually, like, I guess, like, into bodybuilding a little bit.
Oh, did she get into fitness?
She's got this big sweeping helmet hair and
gigantically,
yes,
and she has the gigantic long fingernails, right?
Right. Oh. And she's right out of Massapequa. She's right out of where I grew up, you know. Mm. And
oh my God, look at that hair.
That look.
Yeah.
But she comes in and she's, by the time she leaves, whoever she's with is driven to complete slobbering idiot.
Yeah. I liked her before she became, like, really big.
Yeah.
And then that's where she gets into the physical fitness, and then the hair gets even bigger, and she becomes, like, sort of a parody of what she was
comes in
years
with
ago.
It, clink, 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 with all the stuff. Clink, clink, clink. You know, so we're going to talk about what's happening with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, you're so good.
But Larry has moved on with another woman on the West Coast in Santa Monica.
I'm worried about Larry.
Teresa remains back in Long Island.
But then again, she knows who he's with and knows who he is going to end up with.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, does she have precognition, or does she just talk to dead people? Because a medium talks to dead people.
Yeah, she kind of. I know she can see through lead.
Okay.
Yeah, so like Superman.
What?
It's just funny. Like, the way they would describe it is they're communicating with the other side. And you're like, she talks to dead people.
That's right. Yeah. Right? The other side. You know, dead people.
I see your uncle, and he says you and he used to do a thing that was specific to you guys.
What was that?
He talks about it. And he's smiling, and he's playing with your hair. He's playing with your hair.
Yeah.
I love how...
That's exactly what right? they do.
And he's standing there, but he's got this... His arms are folded. His arms are folded because he's got something he wants to say.
The one I hated the most was Sylvia Brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, she would... She prayed on
he's right
people.
Next to you. He's right next to you, right and he's crying.
I lost my son in a tractor accident.
He's here. Well, he's saying he was murdered by a drug cartel.
What? But wasn't there a few where she, like, she said, oh, your daughter's not dead or something like that?
That was her.
That's what I mean. It's her. And then they found the child's body or something.
All right. Us as a society, we haven't looked at these people and gone, hey, should we lock these people up in a loony bin?
Yeah, right? Like this, why are they allowed
either,
to do this?
It's one of two things. Either they know they don't talk to dead people, and they're just bilking people out of money.
It's something you usually turn over to the bunco department.
Or you go, I think we need to 5150 this person.
Right, you're crazy, clearly.
This person actually thinks that they talk to dead people.
Not a crime to think you'd talk to dead people.
It's not a crime, but
it's
maybe
a crime
you should
to do it while you're naked in public.
Okay.
Yeah.
And stealing people's money. Anyhow, Larry said that he's not sure what this means for the future of the show. So we will find out because I guess
she does.
I guess he's on it too. I don't know. Steve.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this, you're making a sad face.
E! Online reports that the Bachelor in Paradise stars Taylor Nolan and Derek Path have mutually decided to part ways and
why?
End their engagement. Yeah.
I don't love you.
I don't love you. I loved you, but now I don't love you. Isn't that funny?
They were engaged during the after show.
That comes after the show.
Yeah. It was during the after show of last year's series. And, I mean... You know, do they plan ahead of time? Look, we'll get engaged, and we'll stay engaged for about 8 months, and then we'll call off the engagement. Do they plan that part ahead of time?
I wonder if they are, again, as I believe some of these other shows are, if they are incentivized to stay together for a certain amount of time. Right? I would imagine, because the show counts on having usable content. You know, maybe they don't say, we really, we're going to legally force you to do it, but it could be to your benefit if you stay together for this amount of time.
The illusion has to last a decent amount of time after the show is over. It's got to stick around for at least 6 months because at that point, it's time to start thinking about the next season and you don't care anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you got to milk that cow.
Yeah. So they broke up. They've called off the engagement. It's done.
Look at they got Totino's.
Yo.
We're in paradise.
Yeah. Pepperoni.
Yeah. Look it.
This fish looks like a star.
It's a starfish.
What? they make those?
They do.
Just heard you're not supposed to pick those up at all.
Look at this little fish. It looks like a horse.
It's a seahorse.
Seahorse.
What?
Yeah, they have those.
They make those?
All right. Jared Leto is joining the Marvel Universe.
He's already in the DC Universe.
Yep, he's the Joker. But he's agreed to star as a villain called Morbius, which I'm glad they tell you who Morbius is because I had no idea. He originated in the Spider-Man series, according to Variety. The Morbius character was created in 1971 for Amazing Spider-Man number 101. Dr. Morbius was a scientist who tried to cure himself of a blood disease that he had, but instead became afflicted with vampire traits, and the villain's nickname is the Living Vampire.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like the illustration that I'm seeing here.
Yeah, he looks really evil. Daniel Espinosa, who directed Safe House, will direct this film. Leto was also the Joker, of course, in the DC Universe. And his role, this role isn't expected to affect his role as a Joker in an origin movie that was announced earlier in June. So they're working on that.
Let's see what happens with that. First off, I would love to see the extended footage for Suicide Squad, because apparently there's a whole bunch. That movie starts off in a roaring fashion, Suicide Squad. First half hour, 40 minutes, I'm on board. I remember watching it and thinking, they got it. This is Deadpool-ish and a whole bunch of other stuff going on, a lot of fun. And then it degenerated into Ghostbusters, basically.
I wonder if that's, you know, if there were, like, writing changes or whatever.
There were.
And that's where it happened.
You're exactly right. The studio did not have faith in what the director was doing. And then many cooks went into the kitchen and started screwing with it.
But this character, I don't know if you know this or not, Press. Is this a standalone? Is he, because he looks like a villain. So is he going to be a villain in a Marvel movie? Or is this... The Marvel movie is about him.
That's a good question. That's a good question. He's involved with Spider-Man, so I don't know if it's going to be a Spider-Man movie or a Morbius movie.
It's a Madea movie, Preston.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. You know what, Case? I don't know, so I'll have to keep an eye on that. Hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio posted a picture on Instagram yesterday with Brad Pitt on the set of Quentin Tarantino's 60s movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
This is the Manson movie, isn't it?
That movie deals with late 60s Hollywood, with the neighbor of the DiCaprio's character being Sharon Tate, who was murdered by the Manson family. So I guess I didn't know that that's who he would be portraying, the neighbor of Sharon Tate. So they're going to take I'm not sure what perspective it's on, but looking at the picture, and they are clearly in 1970s gear.
See the jacket that DiCaprio is wearing?
Yeah, yeah.
I had one that was very similar.
Yeah, it's is that leather or faux leather?
A friend of mine, Dennis Falcone, my uncle's come into a few jackets. The greatest guy, but, you know.
I
bought one for like $9 or
something. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Nice.
I remember my dad had something similar in the closet. It was darker, though. It was same style jacket, more in line with the color with his pants. It was like more of like
okay.
a brown,
yeah, yeah,
but a lighter brown. And I wish I still had that. Yeah. You know, that would
be
something
pretty cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We're looking at the picture. Brad is in all denim jacket, denim pants.
Oh, yeah.
Bluish t-shirt.
Kind of looks like Steve McQueen a little.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, because he's wearing the aviators. That movie, not sure exactly when that comes out, but they are working on it as we speak. And finally, according to Us Weekly, actress Bella Thorne found out that her show, Famous in Love on Freeform, was canceled by seeing a tweet about an article
on
SpoilerTV.com.
That's got to suck.
She wrote in her tweet, "If this is how I find out our show is canceled, I'm going to be so upset. Very hurtful, Freeform. I would have liked the phone call, maybe."
Well, that is kind of the way it happens often. I think we were telling the story last week about one of the producers on the Goldbergs telling us that he had signed on to a show. He was on the way to the show and saw set pieces traveling the other way on a truck.
Oh, my God.
Do you think it's the TV industry's way of ghosting?
It absolutely is.
They just don't call them. Just show up.
Just post it.
Right.
Read an article.
Yeah. And the soundstage is empty.
I just found out about 10 minutes ago that one of my favorite shows was canceled with Bloodline. So people texted in and let us know
hell?
That. Yeah, no season 4 for Bloodline on Netflix. Ooh. So that's you find out in different ways.
Yeah, you do.
All right, hang on. Rook, because I'm in the first season. Do I even waste my time with it now?
It was really good.
Is it worth the journey if there is no...
Especially season 1? Yeah.
Okay. I would not take that journey. Yeah. I have too many shows.
It's 3 good seasons.
All right. Ready for clips.
Whoa.
You guys are...
What?
Got my Sharpie.
Okay, now I'm ready. Cloak and Dagger is a new Marvel series that follows two teenagers from completely different backgrounds who come together after they develop superpowers. Here star Aubrey Joseph describes why audiences can relate to the show.
It's basically their journeys of being on totally different paths, but the journey of them coming together and just them finding each other and finding that companionship.
I don't think I want to see it.
All right, and Cloak and Dagger's new episode airs tonight at 8 p.m., and that's on Freeform as well. All right, let's do the next clip. Audiences were quick to share their doubts about the sequel to Sicario. But in this clip, Josh Brolin confirms that the cast is 100% behind the crime thriller trilogy.
So there's a lot of fear involved, but then there's a lot of like, we know what this is now. We were uncertain about it, and now we've kind of lived with these characters. What if we continue this? And it's more personal. It feels very more, you know, I just saw it again, and I saw it alone. I wanted to see it alone, and I was really pleased.
Yeah!
Sicario, Day of the Soldado.
Yes.
Hits theaters
Day
tomorrow.
Day of the Salad.
That's ensalada.
Oh,
that's
I'm sorry. Day of the ensalada.
It's Soul Dad.
Okay. Soul Train.
Day of the Enchilada.
Day of Don Cornelius.
Day of Don Cornelius. It's 75-ish percent on Rotten Tomatoes.
Go ahead, Case, because I think you're going
to
say what I think.
Well, no. I'm not going to, but because I know what you're going to say. He and Benicio del Toro did not think that this was going to be a good movie when they got done
the
filming.
Original Sicario.
Yeah.
Well, they were staggeringly wrong.
Right.
I love it. And Preston, again, they're actually running it on FX. I almost would encourage you not to watch it.
Watch FX. Yeah, get the real deal one.
Because there is a sequence that takes place as they're coming over they're going through customs, and they're all in cars, traffic moving forward. And, Benicio del Toro is a criminal, but who's providing intelligence for the DEA agents on our side. But you really realize there's really no side. Everybody's playing the different sides together. But this is one of the most tense, most brilliantly shot sequences you'll see in film. It's amazing.
This is a trilogy of films?
I had no idea they were making it into a trilogy.
Okay. All right, so this the second part.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it says, it's 100% behind the crime thriller trilogy, it says right there. So anyway, it's in theaters tomorrow. And there you go. That's what I got for you this morning in entertainment. Hey, by the way, speaking of theaters and films in theaters, Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out on July 6th. We have a screening on Monday and IMAX 3D, baby.
Yeah!
Love it when we get the big screen and the big sound and the 3D and all that stuff. So let's take five callers. Let's put you on that list. It is at 7:30. You'll need to be there no later than 7. 215-263-WMMR. Let's put you on that list. Let's take a break. Let's come back and do Bucksco versus Delco. Yeah! Day number 4, two contests taking place today as the competitors forge on through this whole thing and try to get as many points as they can by tomorrow. We'll see if they can add to their total when we get back. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's get this thing started. Ah, that's the wrong goddamn song. How about... Please stop moving stuff around.
Right now,
please stop moving stuff around on my special awesome board. That's not it either. I was gonna go with this.
Versus Delco. Fight.
There we go.
Some stuff's supposed to be set up ahead of time. It's not ready to go yet, so we're working on it, and I'm pushing buttons, and those things aren't there. An intro into Bucksco versus Delco is what I was going for. But you know what's going on. It's the Preston and Steve show. If it wasn't a cluster F, it wouldn't be our program.
Would feel that's weird. Right. It wouldn't sound right.
Yeah,
Where are the miscues? Where is the overlapping conversation? The inaccurate statements?
All that stuff.
The finger pointing.
Who
the
am I listening to?
No, this show seems professional and together.
Yeah. All right, so it is day number 4 of Bucksco versus Delco. There's only 5 days that will be given forth on this particular contest. We have Bucksco in the lead. Kathy has 730 points, and Delco is at 520. What?
They're already fighting.
He just told me he hates me.
No, I didn't. I said I effing hate you. But I said it with a big smile on my face.
There is full-blown hatred with love.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You get it.
Yeah.
So far, what all have we done? We did, day one. We saw how you guys could travel through traffic and make your way using your resources out of enemy territory back to home territory.
Beginning of first conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
The traffic situation was dramatically less than favorable for Casey. Kathy admitted that.
And then we saw how well you worked with others from your county with the pyramid game on Tuesday. Yesterday, we wanted to see how you were with the lay of the land from a different perspective as we put you up in the air and we did our altitude awareness with platinum helicopters. And today, we are going to test the knowledge of your county and how well you can spell.
Kathy just mouthed. Where's this from?
I have no idea.
Is it ooh, is it oh, is it I that you speak? Do I have correct pronunciation? I've been reading every night from the dictionary, memorizing every word. My teacher says that I could be extraordinary if I just would put in the work.
right, so that means we have a Delco Bucksco spelling bee that is taking place this morning. All right, and we are going to try to find ourselves a victor this morning. And I didn't want the Animal House theme song. I wanted the collegiate sounding music
there we
at
go.
The beginning of the
end
movie.
Of Animal House.
All right, so how you guys doing?
I'm great, man.
Excellent.
I'm great.
They both mouth, Kathy more prominently, OS when you talked about the...
Because usually I just depend on Nick.
Yeah,
so
right.
Spell whatever
can we,
I need to spell.
Can we use Nick?
No, you cannot.
You cannot use Nick for this particular spelling bee. But actually, I've chosen some things that you guys should be familiar with because all these words are completely within your county, and we're going to see how well you spell them. So we had to take them from a variety of different sources.
Your selections, by the way, are exemplary, A.
Oh,
B, the kind of things that you see, you're right. If you're in and around your area, you would have seen them many times. Just through simple attrition, you should have kind of at least have a good idea of how to spell these words.
Sure. No, because my memory is terrible. In fact, I was driving past something yesterday, and it was a sign. And then underneath the sign was the slogan. And I go, ooh, that slogan, that's a good thing to maybe remember. So I looked at it. I repeated it to myself like three or four times out loud. And then I forgot it about 2 minutes later. I'm like, man, what did that say again?
You know proper technique.
Yeah.
Repetition and...
Mm-hmm.
Forget.
And then forgetfulness.
Repeat, forget.
Mm-hmm. Forget.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all you got
to
do.
There's something that I am sure they are going to ask me on Friday, and I keep going back to it to memorize it, and I keep forgetting it every single time. And I'm like, I know it's going to be a question.
It's funny you say that, Kathy, because over the course of my life, I have no idea how I've ever learned anything because
right? You just forget.
I'm so horrible with it, but it shows you how anything I've retained must be so prominent. And so profound to me, you know, like Kylie Jenner and Kendall Jenner and all that stuff.
Right.
That's how I end up. I'm not a good learner. I'm not smart.
Well, yes, Kathy.
Can we have paper and a pencil?
What do you think, Steve?
I think yes.
I think that's okay.
I was going to say no because it's like it's a spelling bee.
Well.
And in spelling bees, you don't allow people to write it down.
But here you go.
But I'm not the rule maker. But again.
You guys, here, as we've done in every case, you guys talk to each other here right now.
Oh, yesterday I shouldn't have gone for that 1, 2, 3.
Yes. All right. Yeah, so think about that. Yes
and
or no.
And on Tuesday I should have gone for the 100 points.
So Kathy says you're for writing it down. Casey, you're not.
I'm not just because in the true sense of a spelling bee, even when we were in grade school, second, third grade, you didn't have a piece of paper. You had the air, and that was
it. I'll tell you what. How about we flip a coin like we did for the order?
Sure. Okay. What the hell?
I don't care. All right. Kathy, heads.
I already want this to be over.
Heads. Yeah, but you know what happens. You know what's going to happen.
What?
Is if either one of us is wrong, it's going to be a...
The other Kathy, person's heads wrong. Is you get to write it
but
down.
I think in
tails
the...
is you don't get to write it down.
Okay, go.
You don't get to write it down.
Okay. All right, no writing it down. It's been settled. There we go.
Thank you,
I love
God.
How they question the rules every single time we create a new game here.
Here's the dynamic of this time around is so different because there's such a meticulous nature to it.
Yep.
And I can see Preston just smile and have a warm chuckle every time you question the contest.
All right, 7 words each of you have to spell, and they are all centric to your county. Kathy, we're going to begin with you. Your word to spell this morning is knock-a-mixin.
Knock a mixin.
Kathy has knock a mixin.
You want a sentence, Preston?
That bug's killing me.
it's on the goddamn Wikipedia page. So suck it. I don't care.
I don't get angry at me. I'm asking a silent question.
I just love the dynamic of round 2 of Delco versus Bucksco. Everyone is enjoying it so much. Is it a mix?
N-O-C-K-A-M-I-X-I-N.
That is incorrect.
Oh. Figured.
It is N-O-C-K-A-M-I-X-O-N.
You were so
close.
You were one letter off.
By the way,
50 points per word for a possible 350 points today.
Oh, wow.
All right. That is that's a nice take. Yep. Kathy, do you think if you were able to have written it down, you would have gotten it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just wonder, like, who's got more Indian in their, like a Native American in their county because that's...
They're well-known spellers.
We're going to find out. All right, for Delaware County, Casey, I went through a lot of Kathy's have to do with regions in Bucks County, but yours were too simple to spell.
Well, because we're Delco.
But what I found difficulty in are the names of schools in your area.
Oh, okay.
So I mainly went with that. So we were going to begin with your word to spell, annunciation.
Okay. A-N-N-U-N... I-A-C-I-O-N.
That is incorrect.
What did I say?
Annunciation is A-N-N-U-N-C-I-A-T-I-O-N.
Annunciation.
And you missed a few other things along the way, too.
We should have been able to write it down, guys.
I want to choke you people.
Yeah, I want to choke you. I just say this. I feel like I'm Florence Nightingale. I'm tending to everyone.
I'm so mad. I can tell you where annunciation is.
It's in Rutledge.
It's not in Rutledge, but it is on Brookline Boulevard.
All right.
Can I ask a question? Can you clarify?
Why not?
Well, can you clarify the Rutledge? Were none of those streets in Rutledge?
Yeah, so I looked at a map of Rutledge. I pulled up on a search engine on Bing, and it says this area is Rutledge. The way I should have worded it were streets in and around, because it was all... I didn't know Rutledge was the size of a freaking postage stamp.
It's tiny. Right. There's only 9 streets in Rutledge. There are literally
nine streets in that crap hole town.
Don't say that.
Wow.
Don't say that.
No, I'm with you.
You just pissed off 743 people, Preston.
Is that accurate?
It might be.
But listen, all the streets were right around that area.
Okay.
And so, you know, like Lincoln and Park and these other ones are right around there. But
Lincoln is like 2 towns away.
They're not in the damn neighborhood.
All right, okay.
So there you go.
Thanks for bringing that up, Kathy.
I'm actually glad she brought it up.
I didn't know.
Because I told Casey I should have worded it in and around Rutledge.
It's fine. Listen, it's fine. It's just them's is the breaks, and this is the way I look at it. If the tides were turned and Kathy was on the crap end of the stick on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I would have been fine with it.
Okay. That's very honest, very candid.
All right, let's move on. It's Kathy's turn. All right, Kathy, your word to spell is, well, you should be familiar with this, Neshaminy. Mm.
Okay, N-E-S-H. Wait. A-M-I-N-Y.
That is correct.
Yes! All right.
So 50 points, and Nick is going to keep score, so it's 50 points for Kathy so far in this matchup. Delco, we go back there. Your word is Monsignor. Casey, okay. Monsignor.
Sorry, you guys talk amongst yourselves while I think.
Okay,
for a
I should think about it. That's fine.
Can I get the country of origin?
Don't want to. Yes,
Latvia. No, I don't know.
I believe. Let's go. M O N S I G N O R. Monsignor.
That is correct.
Ah! Okay.
50 points for Casey in Delaware County.
Neck and neck.
I can't, you know, if I get that wrong. I get crucified.
Literally.
All right, some of these are easier than others, so don't worry about it. There's going to be hard ones and easy ones. Kathy, your word for Bucksco and our spelling bee is Tinicum.
Tinicum.
Is that not in Bucks County?
No.
No, it is.
We'll talk.
T-I-N-N-I-C-U-M.
That is incorrect.
Really?
There's only one N in Tinicum. You want me to go look it up?
No.
Here's what we need to do.
I'll do it. I think the Delco one is spelled with two
N's. Oh, mother.
Yeah. Well, a Bucks County native ought to know that in Bucks County.
I agree.
Got one. You want to look it up?
I got it.
All right, thank you.
You're making it worse.
Who's making it worse?
Preston's making it worse. I'm saying it's fine. I got it wrong. Move on.
All right, hold on. I want to verify because it's
and I want to verify who's making it worse.
Just you.
Okay.
The one with one N's is in Delaware County. The one with two N's is in Bucks County.
So I got it right.
Seriously.
So I'm so glad that we looked
I'm
that
sorry.
Up.
No, you were wrong.
I reversed it. I apologize.
You're making it worse.
Slash that, reverse it. Kathy got it wrong.
Oh, my God.
By the way, tomorrow's my last day.
All right, so Kathy got that incorrect. That is incorrect. All right, Casey.
I've never been happier to be right over here watching. Yes. Watching.
Uh-huh.
Making weird comments.
Oh, all right, God. Here we go. Here we go. Yes. Casey, yes. Your word in the spelling bee. Aloysius.
Aloysius.
Oh, Jesus.
That's no. In Bryn Mawr, by
I
the
know,
way.
I know. Mm-hmm. St. Aloysius Academy. Everything has got to be Catholic, for God's sake.
Oh. Well, yeah, basically either Indian or Catholic.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Take all the time you need.
Yeah.
You're with friends.
Yeah, usually in, usually in a spelling bee, you think while we talk, Casey. Yeah. In a spelling bee, they give them the time they need, right?
They give them some time. Yeah, and I think we can be a little bit more liberal here with the time. We can actually take this to Jackson's show if we need to.
Only on Aloysius.
All right, yeah. I bet you someone wishes they could write it down.
All right, yeah, I know, me. me. All right, so
Aloysius.
Aloysius.
That is incorrect. It's an S, not a C. Okay. Aloysius.
I-U-S, okay.
And I did double check on that this morning, so it's incorrect.
Well, is that the Bucks go Aloysius or the right. Delaware County?
It's still tied, right? 50-50. Yep. All right, yeah. Is the score so far. All right, Kathy, here's your next one. Your word is Tohickan.
Tohickan.
Yeah. Some of these might be in North Bucks County.
Upper Bucks.
Upper Bucks, whatever you want to call it. Tohickan.
Is that a city?
I don't know.
Country of origin.
All right, Nick, you want to look that up?
Yes.
It's spelled... No, never mind.
I got it.
All right.
This is in Bucks County's Rutledge.
Right. The Rutledge of Bucks County is... Tohickan.
Where is Rockledge? Is that in Bucks County or is that in Monco?
I don't know, man. I'm looking up one thing at a time.
I wasn't talking. I was talking to Steve.
Okay.
All right.
You got
I'm
it?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, so Tohickan look. Pool and Tohickan Creek. It's in Bucks County.
I know, relatively speaking, crickets are very strong.
I'm going to go T O H I C K E N.
That is incorrect.
Oh!
Very
once
close.
Again, you needed to end with an O-N, just like in Nakamixon. T-O-H-I-C-K-O-N.
O-N.
Same mistake.
Casey, you got a chance to get ahead here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a true competitor.
So angry!
All right. Yet another school.
All right.
Yet another school. Cornelius.
Cornelius.
Yes.
All right. C-O-R-N. E L I U S and I U S, yeah. So I said C O R N E L I U S. That's what I thought I said.
That is incorrect.
Oh!
Two L's in Cornelius.
Oh my God!
You son of a bitch!
C O R N E L L I U S.
I thought he had it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm so glad he didn't.
Incorrect. All right, Kathy.
Okay, come on.
All right, now I need a pronunciation.
What the hell is Cornelius? I've never. Sorry.
It's in Bucks County.
Preston doesn't even know how to pronounce it.
I'm sorry, Preston. This is to prevent bitching later on.
Okay.
Are you sure about that? Two L's.
That's what I. You want to look it up?
Yes, I did.
Let's check. Okay.
Cornelius Saint Cornelius. I'm sorry. Saint Cornelius Catholic School in Chadsford, Delaware County is one L.
All right, and that is via, what is your source?
Philly Voice, Wikipedia, several sources online.
We're looking right here, too, pressing on the big screen. They have it as okay. 1L.
All right, then I stand corrected. Thank you for checking on that. Check on every single word that I have here.
Nick, Preston? I will check on you checking.
Jeopardy has judges, okay?
Yeah,
they will cut the commercial, and they will come back, and they will
Casey?
Say, judges!
Circuit courts have judges, too.
Right.
Yes, you're right. Supreme courts.
Yes.
Judges.
Justices.
Judge Dredd.
So but Casey's now up 100 to 50.
All right, so Casey got that. Yeah! So I'm sorry, Woo! Kathy, but after further review, Casey did get that correct. All right,
all right, I'm jumping on the computer, too, here. We'll make sure this is 100%.
Go to the next
All right,
one.
So tell me if this sounds familiar.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Rigelsville.
Rigelsville.
I've never even heard of it.
Well, then it must not exist.
But I'm just wondering about the pronunciation. I wasn't sure if it was Rigelsville or Rigelsville.
You went Upper Bucks on all of these, which I am not familiar one bit with. I'll guess. Wait, say it again.
Rigelsville.
Rigelsville.
Can you spell that?
Somebody said. Never mind.
R-I-G-L-E-V-I-L-L-E.
That is incorrect. It's R-I-E-G-E-L-S-V-I-L-L-A. So that is incorrect. So I assume that's Rigel, since I comes before E, that it's pronounced Rigelsville.
That you would imagine. So, yeah.
I don't even know where it is.
Preston is the home of the Rigelsville Inn, restaurant, and pub.
Okay.
You can view their menu online.
Ah, ooh. Very, wow. How convenient.
Yes.
I bet you they have wings.
All right.
It's
let's
way up above.
No. In fact, it's No Wing July.
Really? Oh, man.
All right. Somebody says it's pronounced Regal, like the Regal Theater.
Okay,
Regal,
the Regal Beagle.
All right.
Regal. Well, I think you pronounced it the way it was spelled.
It so, is. All right. Job. So next word, Casey, this one's for you. Yet another school. This one is Bernadette.
Bernadette.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, again, I know where this is. It's just a question. All right. So, Bernie's.
You know what? Honestly, with both of you, always remember, sort of go with your first instinct.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Judy Kim in The Assassination. But I know it's okay, 'cause we're here, and we don't believe. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. 'Cause it's love. Judy Kim in The Assassination, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right.
Foxco versus Delco. Fight.
All right, we've reviewed the tape of Kathy and the spelling of Trumbauersville.
L-X-C-M.
No.
Trumbauer.
We have it here if you want to hear it.
But, yeah, please.
But apparently you did spell it incorrectly.
Yes.
But we'll check the tape as we if anybody wants a review, we'll do it. So this was Kathy and spelling Trumbauersville, which is, by the way, spelled Trumbauersville.
That's okay.
Here it is. Trumbauersville.
Trumbauersville.
Keep going, yeah.
Wait, where did I leave off? T-R-U-M, Trump, B-A-U-R.
So you started to sell
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I said E,
and you started over, yep.
E-R-S-V-I-L-L-E.
No, that's incorrect. You said R-E-R-S-V-I-L-L-E. So I know you were backtracking.
Really?
Yeah, here, listen.
Play it again.
Listen, play it again. All right.
T-R-U-M, Trump, B-A-U-R. Oh, I said R. And then E? E-R-S-V-I-L-L-E.
Oh. No, that's incorrect. It was a jumble of word letters.
Yeah, and the problem is you were spelling it right.
Wait, E-R-S. That's, no?
The problem is Jesus. I got a big one in my mouth.
Play it again and slow it down.
No. We don't slow it down. It's, listen.
Keep going, yeah.
You stop in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, E, and then you started jumbling it up.
E, wait, where did I leave off?
Hang on. All right, so. Here's where you start
one.
Again. All right.
T-R-U-M, Trump, B-A-U-R.
B-A-U-R.
R, okay.
It should be an
E
there.
Got it, okay.
But this is where you try to correct yourself.
Oh. E-R-S-V-I-L-L-E.
See, you said T-R-E-R-S-V-I-L-L-E.
Right.
I know what you're trying to do, but the way it came out,
right. Okay,
you put it in the wrong place. So anyhow, we move on. It's 10 points now separating these two. All right, so it's neck and neck at this point. We have another contest to get to.
As it turns out, Preston, people are getting passionate about this.
They are.
And are reflecting those passions on social media.
Yeah, Kathy is still up by 10 points so far. Bucks County with 780, Delaware County with 770. We'll get to the next one in a little while, but in the meantime, we're going to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and it's brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So, call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? A machete-wielding Montana woman broke into her ex-boyfriend's home, directed him to disrobe, and then forced him to have sex with her. Samantha Mears, who is 19 years old, entered the victim's residence Friday when he was not at home. And the man returned. Mears confronted him from behind with a machete. Mears then allegedly told the man to, quote, get on the bed and remove your clothes.
Yeah.
The victim told police.
All right. Don't do anything rash.
The victim told police that he complied with Mears for fear of his safety. adding that he, quote, did not feel he could leave the room at that time without being hurt by Mears. Investigators charged that after Mears removed her pants, she climbed atop the victim and they engaged in intercourse.
All the while she's holding the machete?
I don't know about it that time. The victim said that Mears, who was holding the machete, bit him on the arm and continued to have sex with him after he attempted to, quote, end the encounter.
Now, butt stuff.
The victim said told police that he had, quote, become aroused by seeing her without any undergarments on.
Yeah, but there's that machete. That would kill my boner.
The man that added that, he's like 19, 20 years old because she's 19. But anyhow, the man added that after finishing, he attempted to push Mears off him to end the intercourse, but she proceeded to bite his arm and continue to have sex with him until he was no longer able to have sex anymore.
About a third of the way through, he discovered that it was a rubber machete.
After Mears sat on the bed, still armed with the machete, her back against the wall, she sat with her back against the wall, and it was during this time that the victim took several photos of Mears with the machete in her hand. The man who provided the images to police had a bite mark on his arm when he was later interviewed by the police. After surreptitiously calling 911, the man backed out of the bedroom and escaped his residence. She has been charged with aggravated burglary and assault with a weapon. What?
This sounds less like an assault and more like role-playing.
Both felonies, by the way. She also faces misdemeanor counts of criminal mischief, assault, and unlawful restraint. So she's being charged.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a follow-up story. A schizophrenic man who walked into a grocery store on Mother's Day with his own mother's decapitated head was found guilty of murder by reason of insanity and sent to a psychiatric hospital on Tuesday.
A little rash?
Charging him? Do they know
he's insane yet?
Prosecutors said that on May 14th...
What's their evidence? He's walking around with his mother's head?
Of last year, Sarah Morris White went to visit her mother, Tina Webb, at her home in Colton, Oregon. When she entered the house with her children, she found her mother's headless body on the floor.
Oh, my
and
God.
The dog dead from an apparent stab wounds. At approximately the same time in a nearby town of Estacada, authorities were called to a grocery store after a man reportedly was seen carrying a knife and a severed head.
For some teeth whitening products.
The man, Joshua Lee Webb, also stabbed an employee while he was inside the store. While in the hospital, Webb was in a catatonic state for hours, and at one point he said, "I had a nice nap." Eventually confessed to killing his dog and his mother and admitted to attacking the store employee. The judge ruled on Tuesday that Webb was guilty of murder by reason of insanity, something he qualified for based on the diagnoses from two psychiatrists who said he suffered from schizophrenia and psychosis.
Oh, man.
And the judge noted Webb still hears voices despite a year on antipsychotic medication.
They say, Preston, he had been playing a game where they mislabeled the streets in his town.
That'll drive anybody insane.
That's right.
Right? And
you know how that can get.
So Webb had reportedly been doing, quote, weird things prior to the attack.
I'm sure. Said, yes. And smoking funny things.
Right, yes. And doing
and funny things.
All right, let's see what else we have here. A JetBlue pilot accidentally reported that his plane was being hijacked at JFK. Triggering a massive response of cops and firefighters who surrounded the craft on the tarmac. The pilot of Flight 1623 bound for L.A. tried to punch in a code, alerting JFK's tower that the craft's radio wasn't working, but he inadvertently hit keys that signaled a hijacking.
Is this the picture I saw of all the passengers with their hands up in their seats?
Yes, and they came on board. So without verbal contact with Flight 1623 and the manually entered code for hijacking, JFK had no choice. He had to assume the worst. Port Authority Police, Emergency Services Unit, K-9 units, firefighters, and ambulances rushed to the scene. That brought everyone to their mother out to the tarmac, a law enforcement source said.
Oh, my gosh.
Most people have never responded to a hijacking other than in training, he said. The incident caused a ripple effect of delays in landings and departures as first responders rushed onto the runway. The aircraft was inspected and cleared with no security threat. Apparently, the pilot had to hold up a note written down and held it up on the window of the cockpit to let him know that everything was okay.
Did he realize he gave them their
phone number so he could call them on the phone.
There's got to be a protocol involved because what if somebody hijacking the plane told him to put that sign up?
Yeah, Kathy, I don't know how soon after he realized he punched in the wrong code, but apparently...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oopsie.
Sorry.
Can't believe I hit send.
Yep. Here's a follow-up story. The collapse of a warehouse wall at a distillery in Kentucky didn't just send 9,000 bourbon barrels crashing to the ground. The accident last Friday also killed hundreds of fish when bourbon leaked into nearby waterways.
Oh, my God.
Nearly 1,000 fish were found dead in...
And smiling.
...in Withrow Creek near the Barton 1792 distillery in Bardstown. State environmental officials said that they will fine Sazerac Incorporated, parent company of the distillery, up to $25,000 per day after alcohol was discovered to be contaminating the body's water.
How much did they lose, did it say?
You know what? I don't know yet, Steve.
Barrels are broken. Yeah.
They may have lost half of it, Casey.
Well, does it make fish drunk before it I mean, do you know what I mean?
I think it just poisons the water.
You don't have a whole bunch of drunk fish in there?
Okay. That's great.
The state intends to cite the company for failure to report a release.
I'm gonna swim downstream to spawn.
And the pollution of waters. Sazerac has not responded for a repeated request for comment. The dead fish were mostly minnows, though.
Oh.
But state inspectors also found smaller numbers of catfish, suckers, darters, gar.
Suckers!
And small largemouth bass as well that had died from that spill. And there you go. We'll wrap that up. That is what I have for you in the bizarre file for you this morning. Let me see here. What do we need to do? We should give something else away. There's a lot of good things that we have, Case. What you got?
What is today? Thursday?
Yep.
Okay.
We're going to give away some beer, maybe?
Yeah, it's Thirsty Thursday, so let's do that. Booyah.
All right. We have from our friends at Yards of Philly Pale Ale. It's in cans now. So let's take caller number 21, and you have to be at least that old to call in and win, by the way. We'll set you up with a case of that, 215-263-WMMR.
Yards was giving out a bunch of it at the Mutiny on the Mashulu event on Thursday. Man, people were loving that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yards has been brewing and bottling right here in Philly since 1994, and now they're canning their favorites like Philly Pale Ale and Brawler just in time for summer. See how it's all done on a brewery tour at their new location on 5th and Spring Garden. Wherever you go, bring Yards. We're going to have Mr. Tom Rhodes, who's going to be performing at Punchline tonight, Friday and Saturday. One show each night. He'll be stopping by in a little while. And before we do that, we have contest number two of the day for Busco versus Delco. I think it's my favorite one. We'll see.
Yes. Write down your complaint, the beginning of your complaint, and then finish it as the contest
please
is wrapping up.
Do. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The Preston and Steve. New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We're going to have you move over once again.
Preston and Steve present an epic battle between two warring counties to determine supremacy. One will rule, one will drool. So gird your loins for battle as WMMR presents Buxco versus Delco.
And we're going at it again. We are doubling up today. We were going to hash things out, but the weather played an issue today, and we had to do both of our helicopter segments yesterday. Yes, we used a helicopter from Platinum Helicopters.
I thought that was good, though.
You enjoyed it?
Both of us going on the same day.
It ended up working out. Now, this is 5 years after the original, which was Delco versus Buxco, and I guess, Preston, the next one will occur in 20 years.
I was just going to say, when's round three?
Because this is like giving birth, this one.
I think the listeners are digging it, but I don't think anybody in the studio is having a lot of fun here.
Well, Nick was concerned. Nick's like, I don't think we should do two segments tomorrow. I think the audience has had it. So we're not sure. I don't know. But it is fun. It's just a bit of a headache on the logistics side of it.
It's like, listen.
We're all having fun here.
You don't stop when you're crowding, right?
Right.
You don't shove the baby back in.
No.
You can already see. Hey, how much? We're fully dilated.
Yeah. But anyhow, it's good no matter what. So we have one more segment. The reason we were going to split the helicopter segment yesterday is because we didn't want both of you out of the studio for the majority of the day. We wanted one of you here and so on. But we made it work, and now that's why we're doing two in-studio test type of segments. So this one I'm really proud of, okay, because... I want to do a little explanation as to why we decided to do this. Now, the name of this contest we've come up with is the County Cram. And the reason behind that is 5 years ago when we did Buxco versus Delco, You guys had prepared for the final day, which you knew was going to be trivia based, and you guys studied really, really hard.
Yeah, we did.
And you came up, you told us all the things that you studied for that we didn't ask you about. And earlier this week, you said you weren't going to study at all for this. We had this planned weeks ago, by the way.
This was actually one of the first things that Preston wanted to do, because you thought, I remember the first go-around, one of the things you found the most humorous was the extent to which they had gone to review their various counties and bone up on all the insignificant.
The end of the Bucksco, or the Delco as it was, in Delco versus Bucksco video is one of the funniest daily rushes I've ever seen, because you guys profess all this information, this knowledge that you had about your counties because you studied so hard, and we didn't ask you anything about that.
Nothing.
Well, here's the problem, is, and this is brilliant that you guys are doing this today and not tomorrow, because if you were to look at my my computer right now, I started making a study sheet for tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now, with the county cram, we are going to ask you every single question that you knew the answer to 5 years ago and studied for and stated out loud. And I have all the pieces of audio to play to prove that you do know the answers.
Okay. So this
we're going to ask you all of those.
This is this may be our first contest, Preston.
That's completely
conspiracy free, because we have the audio to prove.
Yes, from their own mouth.
Did you watch the Daily Rush since we started this, for the one from 5 years ago?
No, did you?
I did.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But listen, I did not study, but I know that you knew all the creeks at
perhaps
that time.
It's actually worked its way into your DNA now, because it was so important, and you'll just reflexively bark out the answer without even knowing you know it.
It's like we said before, you study, you cram, and then you forget every bit of information.
All right, we'll see how this plays out.
Okay. So some of these pieces of audio I can play beforehand, because you may not have given the specific answer, but you did make a statement that you knew certain things.
Okay.
So that's going to lead with the first one for Bucks County. And, oh, yes, Marissa, thank you very much for asking the point totals. Hold on a second here.
See, this is, look at all the paperwork Preston has over there. It's like he's a corporation filing their tax return.
You need today's points thus far?
No. Oh. Our point system.
Okay.
For this particular contest. Do you remember what it was?
I think it was 100 points per correct answer.
All right. Oh. Yeah, that's heavy duty.
Because you already know the
It's like Lyra, Preston.
Marissa is pulling up the email that I sent out. It was the point system, and I believe for County Cram, 100 points per each answer.
All right. How many questions?
But fortunately, an incorrect answer is not going to dock you at all, so we're not going to take
it like Jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. So how many questions? There's six for each of you.
A lot of points up for grabs.
All right.
Oh, my God.
So, Kathy, we're going to go to you first.
Oh, you went to me first last time.
Well, you're the reigning champion.
Do you guys?
Okay. No,
it's fine. All right.
But here's the clip from 5 years ago, and some of them are edited very tight because you start to give away info.
Okay.
But this is Kathy saying this about Bucks County.
Chase, I know the zip codes.
All right. She knows the zip codes for Bucks County. So then, Kathy, you should be able to tell me the zip code for Fairless Hills or Falls Township.
Oh, my God.
Fairless Hills.
Every single one of my Fairless Hills friends are going nuts right now. Okay.
Take your time.
190. Zero, 19030.
That's 100 points.
She's
wow!
Good
job.
Damn good.
Right.
Wow, look at you.
Good answer. Good answer. Now, on to Casey. And I will play this clip. Marissa, if you could move it down to the next clip, please. This was Casey's statement 5 years ago. Hang on a second here. Where is it? Oh, yeah, here we go.
I don't know zip codes. I know how many townships.
Okay. So, Casey, how many townships are there in Delaware County?
49. There are 49 municipalities or whatever.
Townships.
Townships?
Or whatever.
Well, I mean, it's...
And here we go.
Well, I know, but if you were to look at my if you were to look at my study sheet,
don't think about last year. Think about your study sheet. Why am I helping you?
Yes. That's very kind.
Because inherently you're a good person.
Yes. Kathy, rub his shoulders.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Jesus. I know how many townships? 23.
That's close, but that's incorrect. They're 21.
Oh.
got 21 townships. Case.
Oh, you know what, though? That was 5 years ago. Since then, two townships have combined. So
let's do a quick check.
Have split, the answer, I meant to say.
The answer, according to Wikipedia.
The People's Encyclopedia.
Is 21.
Okay. 21.
All right, so the next question is the second question for Kathy. I'll have to play the clip afterwards because you do indeed
all right.
Give the answer. But in what year was Levittown built?
1951.
1951 is what she says. And let's check the answer. Here it is.
Well, Levittown was built in 1950,
Casey. Oh, really?
1950.
Oh, damn it.
Check it, Nick.
No.
But she said it.
I know.
Is it according to her?
It's according to her. This is to test the answers that you already know.
Okay, so can I just say one thing? I think I said it was built in the, I meant the 1950s, but that it was actually built in 51.
Listen again.
Here we go. This is the clip from this.
No, but not what I said here. So you don't care what Wiki actually says?
No, I took, if you gave the answer, then that's the answer.
Then this is built on the answer provided if you gave the answer. Okay, now that we're clear, that's cool. All right.
Here, listen to it.
Well, Levittown was built in 1950, Casey.
Oh, really?
Levittown was built in 1950, Casey.
Okay.
Does Wikipedia say 51?
Yes.
Now, what the hell do we do now?
What do we do now?
You know?
What do we do now?
We are people of truth and light.
But I think you should drop Kathy points 5 years ago, and then I actually won.
So, you know what? That's a good point. Yeah. But the question was never asked back then.
Yeah.
I think.
What do you think? Do you think I should get the points 1951?
You can't ask me that.
Why?
Because you know what my answer is going to be.
But think about if it was the other way around. What do you think?
Okay, well, let me ask you.
Okay.
Should I get half of your points for Monday because I got stuck in a traffic jam because of an accident?
Come on, no.
I
think that this is predicated on they say they have knowledge in this area. And so when you ask the question, she provided the correct answer, regardless of what she might have misstated back then.
Like, what I was saying was, in that video, I was saying in the 50s, even though the audio says 50, but it is actually 51.
Preston, you have slaved putting these contests together. So I would say, how do you feel it should go?
Do we have a gun?
I know, right?
I'm not going to hurt anybody, just myself.
Here's what I would say. With the question that Casey just had, right?
Yep.
He named the number of townships in Delaware County. If he had gotten that right this time, I think we would have given him credit for it.
I think we would have.
So I think that Kathy should get credit for getting the answer right this time. Because I think we would have done that for Casey,
for the
townships.
And I'm going to restate every single question on here, and I will put it as 5 years ago.
Yes.
What did you say the year that Levittown was built? I don't know, man. There's going to be controversy no matter what on this. I simply went by the answers that they gave, that they studied for
off of the video. We curse your horrible research 5 years ago. Because it's going to give Preston a full-blown aneurysm.
I'm glad I'm not you guys right now.
Oh, I'm just watching.
Yeah.
I think it's a toss-up.
Oh, so a coin toss?
I think that's the only... Oh. I can't make a decision on this, Kath. Right.
So it's the correct answer, though.
Oh, stop saying that.
Wait a second. All right, so let's say this. When it was originally proposed to you guys right now, I think Preston framed it as the answers you gave then. Correct, Preston?
I said they studied for it, and you know the answers for these, but because
where's
it's
Chuck?
What you said.
He's the most level-headed person.
He's in Disney World
right now.
Oh,
he is? Yeah. Damn it.
That shows that he's level-headed. He left.
Uh-huh. He's like, I'm out.
He didn't want to be part of this mess.
I'm going to wait in line for 2 hours for
a ride.
All right,
Preston, do you want me to do a heads or tails?
Should I just eliminate that one altogether and eliminate one of Casey's?
Yes.
Yeah, how about my first one? Eliminate my first question. No, I'm stepping away from this one, man. I am totally stepping away.
You're eliminating a correct answer for me.
That's true.
It says somebody is stating give Kathy half of the points to kind of meet halfway.
I'm fine with that.
Well, of course you are. You're going to get points out.
Well, I think I should get the full points, but if it's a toss up, I'd rather do that than a coin toss.
Mm. All right, I'm okay with giving her half points. Giving her 50 points.
All right, we will leave it in your domain here because you work so hard on this, and we got to make everyone happy with the results.
I'm fine with Disney unless I lose by 40 points.
Okay, that's right.
The one thing you can find comfort and solace in is that everyone in your various counties
is supporting
everything we're doing.
Yeah. Delco's calling BS. Buck says, like, dude, give her the 100 points. In fact, give her 200 because she's going to be paying this.
Can't even talk.
After?
All right.
Okay. All right. We move on.
Didn't I say at the beginning this would be conspiracy free because we had the audio? So much for that.
So much for that.
That's like somebody turning to Kennedy and go, Dealey Plaza is going to be safe. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. There's no buildings anywhere
near
that.
This is Texas. What's going to go wrong? Everyone's got a gun. It's fine.
All right, here's the next question, right, Casey.
Yes.
I think I play this afterwards. I'm not 100% sure, but... how many boroughs are in Delaware County?
And we're not talking about the animals. We're talking about the boroughs, as in town.
Jesus. Okay, so let me do a little bit of math here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's 49 municipalities minus 21. 49 minus 21 equals something. equals 29, 28. Okay, so now we're left with 28 potential. Rutledge...
Nick, you look. Are you checking?
Sir.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Man,
is this correct right here?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wait,
sweet.
Let me see that again.
Oh no.
No, I have one more than that.
Okay.
Well, what did I say?
No, I don't know.
You didn't say anything.
No, you don't.
No, I have that number. I have that number.
Thank you. That's what I thought. All right, okay. Casey.
Well, I know Rutledge is a borough. There's
How many
one.
Streets do they have? Nine.
Nine streets. Wow. Okay, so we're left.
Just to put this into perspective, Preston, imagine the meticulous amount of work that goes into putting a show on like Jeopardy. And we're not just talking about one area listening. We're talking about the entire country of very persnickety, precise bastards listening and having issues with every answer and question.
I'm going to go. Listen, I'm just throwing this out there. 10.
No, that's incorrect.
Yeah, I thought so.
This is the clip from 5 years ago.
I know how Would many you... boroughs?
Apparently, there are 27 boroughs in Delaware County.
You know what? That pisses me off because I had 28, right?
Yeah.
So it's 20. It's 27 boroughs and then one city, Chester.
Okay. Should have gone with your first instinct.
No, I said 28 was the number I was left with.
You
would
have been closer.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next one. Kathy, 5 years ago.
Yes.
What year did you say Bucksco was founded in?
Bucksco was founded.
In what year, 5 years ago, what year did you say Bucksco was founded in? Founded in.
Just guess. Please. 1800.
1800. Let's go to the recording.
Bucks County right was 1682.
So that's incorrect. All right, Casey, moving along briskly.
You should have read Wikipedia.
Oh, God.
The People's Encyclopedia.
It's up there right now on my freaking computer. I told you, I'm making a goddamn study sheet.
All right, Casey.
What?
What is, and I'm going to give, according to you, 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm going to give the proper pronunciation of this. What is McKinnipates?
It's a creek.
All right, let's go to the tape.
Oh, jeez.
What?
No.
I hope I didn't say crick, you know, but it's a creek. But whatever.
Here we go.
Thank you, guys, because I did not know that Delaware County had a creek named Muckinpates.
That is it.
Yeah.
I mispronounced it. You said Muckinpates, but it's McKinnipates.
McKinnipates. Okay.
Yes,
it's one of the seven creeks in Delaware County. Did you know that there were only seven creeks?
We do now.
We don't want to continue.
And we don't even want to check whether you're right or wrong.
Yeah. Don't add any additional information.
I'm going to fall on the sword here.
Kathy, according to you, 5 years ago, what English county is Bucks County named after?
Buckinghamshire.
Yes.
Let's go to the tape.
Oh, Bucks County was named after the English Buckinghamshire.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I did a little study on that.
Me too.
Yep.
I did that as well.
Why did you study Bucks County?
Because I wasn't sure what they would be asking me.
Mm-hmm. You knew it too.
Well, all right. Listen, I also wanted, because her area of expertise is Lower Bucks.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure there was a, as far as size was concerned, it was like fairish, you know what I mean?
Because we determined it was, right? Lower Bucks compared to all of Delaware County.
I don't know. I mean, Bucks County is really, really big, and Delaware County is not as big.
All right.
Next, we're going back over to Casey, and here we go.
By the way, just quickly, where do we stand score-wise?
Kathy has 250 after four questions. After three questions, Casey has 100.
Okay, so here's the next question for you, Case, and you referred to this. I'm going to play this beforehand, by the way. This is the clip of you 5 years ago.
What else do I know? I know all the creeks.
All right, you know all the creeks. There are seven creeks, as you said, total, other than McKinnipates.
Mm-hmm.
Name four creeks in Delaware County.
Okay, so you have Crum Creek, Ridley Creek, Cobbs Creek, and Chester Creek.
He's correct.
Yes!
The only ones you left out were Neiman's Creek.
Mm-hmm. Which I probably would have never gotten.
And Darby Creek.
Darby Creek, yeah.
And Muckinpates.
Yeah.
Or
Muckinpates.
McKinnipates.
Well, I've renamed it. It's not McKinnipates. It's now Muckinpates. Yeah. It just sounds funnier.
I agree.
Sounds more Delco-ish.
Yeah. What's the score in this? I'm sorry. What's the score in this?
250 to 200.
Oh, wow. Closing the gap. He's getting douche chills.
All right. Okay. All right, Kathy. According to you, 5 years ago.
Five years ago.
Where in line of largest county by population does Bucks Cove fall? First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever. Okay, so in line of largest county
by population
does Bucks County fall? And that is in Pennsylvania, of course.
Third.
Let's go to the tape and find out.
We're the fourth largest county.
Oh, sorry. That's so incorrect.
It's got to be Philadelphia. It's got to be Philadelphia.
Let's go to the next one. This is for you, Casey.
Okay.
Okay. This we will play this clip after. What year was Delaware County founded?
1789. September 26, 1789. But 1789 was
okay. I just went with the year, but let's see what you say here.
And Delaware County was founded on September 26th of 1789.
Holy cannoli! Got the exact date and everything.
Yeah.
Was it overcast that day?
That's 100 points.
It was, actually, Steve, it was sunny. It was a sunny, beautiful day. I think it was around, their high recorded temperature was about 73.
You know how 1789 was.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right, to Kathy we go, and Bucks County. All right, so this is your last question, by the way.
Okay.
You each have, I want to make sure. Yep.
Right. Remember, Rutledge.
One question. It's like Remember the Alamo.
Remember Rutledge.
Yeah. Kathy, continuing on, according to you, all right, 5 years ago, which are the three counties that are larger than Bucks County?
Wait, which are the three counties?
Yeah, which
counties?
Are the three
according
counties
to you,
that are larger than Bucks County? You almost started giving
away,
Casey.
5 years ago.
The three counties in the Delaware Valley that are larger than Bucks County?
Because you said...
By size?
Listen, you said that... Play the Kathy's...
Because we did population, right?
Kathy's last clip, it falls right after this, okay? So this is what you said. Hang on.
We're the fourth largest county.
We're the fourth largest county. And then you say behind, and then you name off the other three.
Oh, okay. For population then. Okay. Philadelphia, Montgomery.
Take your time.
I know.
Everyone here supporting.
I guess I'll go Chester.
And Chester. Let's go to the tape and see what you said 5 years ago.
Behind Montgomery, Allegheny, and Philadelphia.
I didn't know that. The population, right? Population. Yes.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry,
Kathy. Listen, man, I would have never guessed Montgomery. I would have gone like somewhere like Harrisburg or something like that. So,
all right, Casey,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago, you told us about the other counties that border Delaware County, and I'm talking about Pennsylvania counties that border Delaware County. Can you name one, two, three of them? The three.
Philadelphia County, Chester County, Montgomery County. Those are the ones in Pennsylvania.
Those are the three. Let's go to the tape and see what you had to say.
But we are surrounded in total by Philadelphia County, Chester County, Montgomery County, the Delaware River, which then reaches over to Burlington County, and then Delaware State, which is part of the 12-mile circle. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Wow. There you go. No. You got it. Yeah. Wow.
Out of the gate, I thought Kathy was seen to be retaining, but Casey did not,
Well, and then you robbed me of 50 points.
Then we robbed you of 50 points.
That's what we did. We went and did that.
We can get back to you.
We went to the tape. We gave her a little bit of a gift, I think, but all nonetheless. Right. Nick, can you give us the total score as of today? Because this is going to wrap it up for the day.
Now that the parts one and two for day four are both completed, we have a lead change. Casey with 1,170 points. Kathy, 1,030 points.
Wow.
Still.
Casey's up by 140
basically,
points.
Basically, yeah, still neck and neck compared to especially what's coming down tomorrow. Yes.
Casey's up by 140 points going into tomorrow.
You know what, man? I'm good. I don't need to play anymore. I'm going to walk away, right? This is like, you know, you're playing wiffle ball with your little brother.
Yeah.
And you finally take the lead, and then you walk in the house. You're like, that game's over, dude.
Over, yeah. Got to go to dinner. Mom's going to kick my ass.
I love this text that Tom says, Kathy's questions were way harder.
My county. They'll always support you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. By the way, I want to play that entire segment, or at least most of it, from the end of 5 years ago. And Delco versus Bucksco is what it was. And it was great because we got done. Kathy ended up winning. And then you guys professed how much you studied. So this is everything that you said that you guys knew. So here we go.
What could the possible last question be? I know my state representatives.
Oh, by the way, you rattle off all kinds of politicians. I stayed away from that because
they all changed.
They changed.
Yeah, like McBlain is now the. The...
All right, so here we go.
I know my state representatives. I know my state senators.
Case, I know the zip codes.
Yeah, I don't know zip codes. I know how many townships. I know how many boroughs. I know what else do I know? I know the creeks. But
unfortunately.
But no, thank you guys because I did not know that Delaware County had a creek named Muckinpates. until last night. Found that out last night. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you did some cramming.
Yeah, I did some cramming.
And well, Levittown was built in 1950, Casey.
Oh, really? And Delaware County was founded on September 26th of 1789. So we're
Bucks County was 1682.
1682.
Yes!
And was actually named after, you know, they named it after the Thomas West Delamar, or Delaware.
Yeah.
Bucks County was named after the English Buckinghamshire.
Yeah, I did a little study on that as well. And then I also, our borders, we share borders, by the way, with Philadelphia County and the Delaware River.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah.
Well, we're the fourth largest county behind Montgomery, Allegheny, and Philadelphia.
I did know that. I did know that
In population,
well.
Right?
In population.
Yes, population.
But we are surrounded in total by Philadelphia County, Chester County, Montgomery County, the Delaware River, which then reaches over to Burlington County, and then Delaware State, which is part of the 12-mile circle. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Wow. Right.
So I figured why you guys worked so hard 5 years ago, let's put that to use.
Thank you.
It wasn't for naught. You got to use that a little bit today.
That's a good idea.
I think by the general parameters of how we reasoned this contest, I think the breaking the 100 into the 50 was probably the right way to go, even though...
Not if you're from Bucksco.
Even though I got it correct.
Oh, my God.
Did you, though?
Oh, dear God.
Bucksco versus Delco. Fight. Finish them.
All right. We've finished them for the day, but there's one day left, and tomorrow decides it all. And we will let you know it's going to be trivia-based.
Okay.
So it's going to be trivia-based. Once again, we're headed to that. Well, I think it's the fairest way to wrap it up, your knowledge of where you're from.
Yes. There are going to be different nuances involved, though, that are going to make it really interesting.
Mm-hmm. What's going to be the final trivia question, by the way?
Oh, I'll tell you off air. No, but we will, we'll get to all that tomorrow. Wow. Oh, this has been a tough fight.
It's been energy sucking.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be, you okay?
Well, this is why. This is why that Villanova victory this past year was way better than the first one, because we went in the last 10 minutes of the game. We knew we were going to win. You know, I don't like nail biters, guys. I don't like them.
All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out tomorrow. We're going to take a break. Tom Rhodes is in our green room. He's going to be at Punchline. He's going to stop in here and spend some time with us. We're also going to talk to now NHL Hall of Fame inductee Willie O'Ree is going to be on the program.
Yes.
Which is really, really cool. We've had him in the studio before. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. Here comes the MMR.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Yes, it is a punchline that will feature our next guest tonight and tomorrow and Saturday, one night each show. And it has been 4.5 years, he let us know, since he's been here. But we are very happy to have back in our studio, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Preston and Steve, the last time I was here, my life was forever changed. You guys obviously don't remember this. The last time I was here, I came straight from the hospital. I got this scar.
That's right.
Yeah, do you remember that?
I do remember it now.
I had a black eye.
Yes.
I had Frankenstein stitches on my forehead.
Yeah, what happened? I don't remember.
I've been a heavy drinker, heavy partier my whole life, and I've always, for some reason, thought I was part of the Rolling Stones. I just needed to catch up to the band one day.
Right. And the inevitability of joining.
I was here for New Year's Eve. God, I had January 1st off.
Yeah.
And then I got plastered in some little working man's bar on Sansom Street, some little, you know, dive joint. And I blacked out and I fell off of a bar stool like a tree.
Yeah.
And my head hit the tile floor. And once my head hit the floor, I was wide awake. There's blood everywhere. Some guy grabs my arm and he lifts me up and he yells out to the bar, "We got to call an ambulance." And I said, "Don't you dare. I don't have health insurance." And the guy said, "You got to get to a hospital." So I go, "How far is the nearest hospital?" He goes, 2 blocks. So I got a wad of napkins off the bar, and I held it to my forehead, gushing with blood, and I walked the 2 blocks to Thomas Jefferson Hospital. Yeah. And after I walked the 2 blocks, I said to myself, "I just saved $10,000 by not calling an ambulance."
Always thinking.
I have not drank or done drugs in 4.5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Dear God.
And, but I want you to know, the way I used to feel about cocaine is how I now feel about donuts. I won't go out chasing after it, but if a friend's got a bag, I'll have a taste. Yeah.
Tom, well, that's wild.
Not to head down, you know, too serious of a topic, but was that some people who change their lives forever like that, they just hit what they consider to be their lowest point?
There's a huge backstory. You know, my father was killed by a drunk driver in 2009. My sister died of breast cancer in 2011. And I think I stopped drinking for pleasure for a couple of years.
Yeah,
I was just staying pickled. And I really started to look bad. And I was always a decent-looking guy. Mm-hmm. So I think vanity was probably the biggest reason of all.
Thank God for vanity.
So I didn't go to any AA meetings. AA people always get upset. When, I'm not dissing it. I just didn't need it.
Yeah.
I just quit like a man. I just made a decision.
Yeah.
And, I mean, basically, the next day, and I came straight here from the hospital. I mean, I had like an hour between leaving the emergency room to coming here.
Wow.
And I just saw so much ugliness in the mirror the next day. I had a black eye and, you know, I used to be like a handsome guy and I just looked like this fat alcoholic face with the bulbous nose.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what though? I remember you struck us as you were incredibly nice, and
but you were embarrassed. I remember you being here that morning, and I remember how ashamed you were of, and it was that moment when you're after being drunk and after doing something stupid where the shame starts to set in that you were here, because I think you were still recovering from the night before.
Yeah, and then I felt bad because, you know, I'd done you guys' show a bunch of times. You guys had always been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and then you know, like someone wanted to take a picture of me, and I was like, please don't take a picture of me. And actually, I got really lucky. Because I had to do a show that night.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the biggest nor'easter in 10 years hit Philadelphia, and the whole city was shut down.
Wow.
And it was great. So I got another 24 hours to pull it together.
It's wild how you remember those moments. My brother has been clean and sober now for over a decade, and he did use AA, you know, but it would never be, you know, however you get to sobriety is the win, you know.
And, well, I mean, you know, yeah. people, it's funny the way people, like, I still love hanging out.
Yeah.
And I still love booze. I yeah. gave up cigarettes a year later.
Okay.
Which was way more difficult. You know, I was a heavy smoker, two packs a day. I still love drinking and hanging out.
Yeah.
And cigarettes. I just, you know, don't want to die. I just want to hang yeah. on for a couple more years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people, when you're in hanging out with people and they go, oh, you're not drinking? Are you judging me? I'm like, yeah. I've sat here and listened to you repeat the same story three times, you moron.
yeah. Well, that you is, so I've never been drunk. I've never been.
In your whole life?
In my whole life, I've wow. never been drunk. I don't like the taste of alcohol. I've never smoked pot. I've never done anything. What? I don't disapprove of people.
How'd you get into rock and roll?
I know. But Preston can validate. Yeah, wow. yeah. So, but I'm the same way. I don't judge someone who does that if they want to do that. You know,
I think people tend to judge themselves, and that's what ends up happening is when they hear that you're not drinking or that you're not sober, they go, "Wow, I can't do that." And then, oh, well, then they must think a certain thing about me, and it really has nothing to do with that. And I also think that 9 times out of 10, people don't even notice what you're drinking. They really
exactly, no, yeah.
They really,
but
don't.
You do. Yeah. You're seeing it. But
I lived in Amsterdam for 5 years. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah. That's how much I respect partying. And
let me ask you something with that, and other people who have had this, and who have other comedians. Was there a fear at all that extracting that from your life would diminish your comedic capabilities at all?
No, never. I mean, it's, you know, I started when I was 17,
yeah,
and I had a fake ID in the nightclubs. And the first 10 years I was a comedian was battling fear.
And you were a working comedian while you were in high school.
While I was in high school, yeah. And so when I graduated and when I was 18, I went right on the road.
Yeah.
So, you know, a big part of being a comedian is you have to battle through this fear at the beginning because everybody starts the same. You're eating turd sandwiches. Yeah. You're getting humiliated. Failures over and over,
yeah.
and you got to fight through that. So yeah. when I busted my head open and I stopped drinking, I just thought, this is just another level of fear you got to bust through.
Right. You were working on your basically your protective blister. Now, you worked around Long Island a lot, from what I understand. I did stand up, right? Correct? Is that the case?
I've lived in New York City twice. Yeah. So, I mean, back in the day, I did Long Island.
Right.
But it's funny you would bring that up.
Because I've
also played in Mongolia.
I know. For me, I wasn't raised in Mongolia, though, and I was raised on Long Island.
Okay.
So that would be the connection to that. And to that point, and being a world traveler and being out and about, and you have your travel log is extensive. You know, as you go out and about, you're dealing with places that you were before, where perhaps you partied. Is that an issue, or you go and you're in control?
Great question. You know, like I did the Edinburgh Festival, London. You know, it's English comedian, and man, yeah. those English pints of beer are delicious. And so
it's right?
And then I go to Ireland once a year.
Yeah,
Ireland's one of my favorite places in the world. So to be there with Irish comedian friends, or in England with English comedian friends, and everyone's got a pint in their hand,
right.
and knocking it down, you think, oh, yeah. But also being in Paris is one of my favorite cities, and visiting Rome, you think, man, a glass of wine would be really nice.
Right. You know?
But, I mean, that passes.
Do you know what's
it's
funny?
No big deal.
I don't drink. I've never been drunk yet. I am fascinated with wine culture. I'm fascinated with vineyards. You know, my wife drinks, loves wine. There's a culture and the pairing and so on and so forth I'm interested in. I just simply don't indulge myself with it, but everything that surrounds it is stuff that I like.
I love wine. I love everything about wine culture. I lived with a French woman from Paris.
Ah.
Nathalie. for 7 years.
Is that how
she
would say it?
Yeah, it is.
Nathalie.
Yeah, she was great. I'm trying to, in October, I'm going back to Europe, and hopefully, I'm waiting on the word from Netflix, but hopefully I will film my next hour special for Netflix in Paris.
Wow.
In October. I have a long connection with Paris. The French woman I lived with, Natalie, she was 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
And I was in love with her, and I wanted to marry her, but she was French, and she was progressive, and she'd be like, oh, baby, I do not need a ring on my finger to know that you are my man. She would say that. And she would say, oh, baby, I do not care if you have sex with another woman. Just do not give your heart to anyone else but to me.
Wow.
I was young. I was stupid. I wish I'd have known what a good deal she was offering.
Right?
Yeah. Dude. So Natalie taught me a lot about wine.
Okay.
And so, you know, and I was living in San Francisco, and I'd go to France a lot. And so I have this massive knowledge of wine and Italian, French, every New
but,
Zealand.
But accrued the right way through living it as opposed to taking a night class.
So I think, you know, I think when I get older, maybe in 10, 15 years or so, I think I might start having a glass here and there.
Okay.
You know, but just out of appreciation. You know?
Right, right.
Hey, I read this. We did some background check on you, and I want to see if this is correct or not. Sometimes it's not. It says here, Tom and his photographer wife traveled the world with no home base and are in a new place every week. Is that true?
Yes.
So you don't have a fixed address?
Well, that's we got an apartment in Los Angeles 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I put everything into storage for 10 years and traveled the world as a comedian. And I met my wife in Holland. She's a photographer. So she traveled with me for 8 of those years. So, you know, I've been doing the international circuits for 20 years. So I would do 3 or 4 months a year in Europe. And then when we would finish a Europe tour, 4 years in a row, we went to Rome and rented an apartment for a week or two.
Okay.
It's great. You know, like Airbnb, sleepinitaly.com. You can live wherever you want.
We had a couple by a while ago. They're bloggers or vloggers, whatever you want to call them. They post, they're Instagrammers, but they live what's called van life. And they have a van that is their home, and it's really, really nice. And
maximum efficiency.
Yeah, and they can go where they want, when they want, and they really have their heads on straight. They're not, you know, crazy people. They're really, really cool.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a fascinating lifestyle.
It is fascinating. I mean, you're limited to a continent that way. So, you know, every year also we do like a month in Asia. 1 year after I did a month in Asia, my wife and I went to Bali for 2 weeks.
I did a month
in New Zealand, month in Australia, and then
I envy that.
Would do 3 or 4 months a year going all over the United States. And when I was still drinking, we used to go to New Orleans and rent an apartment a lot.
How complicated is that with, you know, your accountant with taxes and, you know, if you're moving around all the place, you know, all over?
It's pretty easy.
Is it easy?
You know,
it's just
like, you know, not living anywhere. You know, and having, being a comedian and being able to do gigs and make money all over the world, you know, it's like, wow, where do we want to go when we have time off?
Yeah, your work is your vacation in many ways. So you've spent a lot of time in Asia, and what I'm fascinated with is porting your comedy around the world, and where do you find, or do you find an area where you have to tweak with it more than another area, or does it translate equally as efficiently?
Well, you lose material on references, but you gain on observations.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of times you're playing, like in Paris, it was mostly French people. And then there was international people. But a lot of times when you're playing in Asia, it's half the audience is expats. So, you know, we won the lottery. So you got Australians, Irish, English, Canadian, Italian, Swiss, whoever, and then half the audience will be Chinese, Thai, Vietnamese, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing Beijing, Shanghai, and I'm going back to Mongolia. I went to Mongolia
in
September.
That's so wild.
And so you're talking about performing there. Mongolia was all Mongolians who speak English. And if you learn anything about Mongolian culture, they really love you. So I read Genghis Khan's biography before I went there.
Really?
So it was great. I said, you know, under the rule of Genghis Khan, no individual was ever held responsible for a mistake or an error. It was the community's fault as a whole.
Right.
So if this show doesn't go well tonight, it's all of
it's everyone's fault. Yeah.
So I had great material. Like under Genghis Khan's rule, I learned that as a comedian performing in Mongolia, you never give up on a joke, never give up on a story. And if that doesn't work, you can always put aristocrats and noblemen into catapults and shoot them against the palace walls, because that never fails to make the
Mongolians
laugh.
Never fails to make the crowd. There you go.
Tom, we've talked about Dublin from time to time being even though it's in Ireland, not very many Irish people are living there. What city have you been in that is not at all representative of that country?
Well, I mean, are you asking me about Ireland or a different example?
No, you've been around the world.
Because
you go to Dublin.
I love Ireland.
Yes.
And Ireland has been great to me. Like, I've played in Ireland. I'll be there the last week of October doing the Galway Comedy Festival.
Yes.
But when you Galway's my favorite place in Ireland.
And you get Irish people there. When you go to Dublin, you don't necessarily...
Well, but so there's a university there, so there are international. Okay. So you got, you know, Spanish, Italian students in the audience. But Galway is a mini university San Francisco seaport village. And I always tell people, if you were in Ireland and you were gay... or artistic, you would move to Galway.
Galway's the place.
It's a little artsy village.
It's funny, though. What happened with us is we actually had gone over, through Guinness, when they used to give away pubs, we did a pub promotion from St. Patrick's Day. Hey, we're going to broadcast on St. Patrick's Day
cool
from Dublin.
That?
It was cool, except they had a hoof and mouth outbreak, and so everyone vacated the city. There were really no Irish people in Dublin. They were watching the St. Patrick's Day broadcast from Manhattan.
That's hilarious. Yeah. What blew my mind when I went to the Guinness Beer Factory is, and I never knew this, those are the people who invented the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes,
To solve bar arguments. What a fascinating place to work, that beer factory must be.
Did you get the tour? Because we had the guy, what was his name, Preston? The head brewer of Guinness, take us back to that one. There's one specific tap in the back.
I didn't see that.
The taste testing tap. It was wild.
But what I think is funny that I get to perform in Ireland. Last summer I did the Dublin Comedy Festival. There's the Laughter Lounge Club in Dublin. I've played all over in Cork and Belfast, and
we find as you.
But what's funny to me is that they would import comedians because to me everyone in Ireland is hilarious.
it's good sense of humor. Everywhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I was the first time I went to Dublin, my hotel was on the Liffey River, and I was walking around the city and I got lost, and I knew if I could find the Liffey River, I could find my hotel. So I asked this cop, sir, how do I get to the Liffey River? He goes, you just want to keep walking straight, and then you want to stop abruptly, or else you fall in. Like, everyone you talk to is locked and loaded with a hilarious line.
That's cool. So I purchased in anticipation of a trip to, I'd love to go to China. Japan is actually my main bucket list.
I'm going back Thanksgiving week. I was there. I hadn't been in 10 years. I was there last September.
Tell me about it. What's your
Japan
your takeaway?
It's the Germany of Asia. It's everything is clean. It's not as expensive as you think. When
That's
you
what
get
I've
there,
heard.
The food is great.
Yeah.
You pop into some neighborhood working man bar or ramen noodle shop, and it's like the greatest bowl of ramen you ever had.
Really?
It's a fascinating place. The way they're locked into. Different style and culture, like Japanese guys wearing full Adidas, like hip hop stuff or Mexican LA, car culture.
Really?
With the plaid shirt, with
Tokyo
just
Drift,
two buttons at the top.
Yeah. You
know, like the way, guys dressed in, colors and 1994.
Right. So it's a mishmash of that. I love that.
There was one survivor from Japan of the sinking of the Titanic in 1914, and we went back to Japan. He was ridiculed for being a coward because
he
didn't go down with the ship with the men. He got on the boat with the women and children.
Wow.
Any other country in the world, people went, oh, my God, it's a miracle.
Thank God you're alive.
Yeah. In Japan, anyway.
Pussy.
Hey, we're looking. Nick has your Instagram account up. You have some fantastic photographs.
Oh, my God. Scroll down to Mongolia.
On Instagram. We're going through the whole thing. We've gotten way down into some
My Instagram stuff. Is amazing. I'm
Do
crushing
you take
it.
These pictures?
Those are me. Yeah. I take all of those.
Those are fantastic.
Yeah. And, Japan, Mongolia. I was just in Vietnam in April.
Vietnam, I hear, is amazing.
I love Vietnam. My father flew helicopters in the war, and he was shot down. He survived.
It's amazing.
You know, my mother doesn't understand why me or any American would go there because so many of our people died there. But it's an amazing place.
A lot of Vietnam vets do go back and do go. I was watching a special on that, and that it is. It's a beautiful country, you know.
Saw that Ken Burns documentary on PBS, that they thought that the Americans would side with them because, and Ho Chi Minh was quoting Thomas Jefferson,
right?
At the first meeting, that everyone deserves life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and they thought that we would get on their side, And they've been at war with China for thousands of years.
Forever, yeah. You know? Just on the they just, I don't know if it was a recent discovery, I might be having a brain fart on this, but there was that huge cave that they just discovered there. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's
no
staggering.
In Vietnam?
It's in Vietnam.
Okay.
Yeah, just a breathtakingly large cave, and that's where tourists and people interested in that are flocking to Vietnam for that. But so what does your passport look like? It must be a mess.
I'm on my fourth passport. Yeah. My last passport was as thick as my head. You can get extra pages put in it. So actually, I just got a brand new one 6 months ago, and it's all thin and skinny. The last one was really thick.
If somebody came to you and said, I've never left the country, where would you suggest that they go to first?
I would say
it would depend on their personality, I would imagine. But
Paris, Amsterdam, you know, and take the train. Or Ireland. I'd say Ireland's a great trip. If you like to drink and laugh a lot, go to Ireland. If you're more adventurous and you're getting up into the, you know, some veteran travel, Peru is my favorite trip I've ever taken.
No kidding.
Loved Peru. New Zealand is amazing.
That's okay. We hear.
And also, my mother's from Argentina. I'm quite a big fan of Argentina.
Nice. You been to Cuba yet? Sorry, Press.
I have not. No.
Okay.
My family went to Scandinavia last year, and you know, Sweden and Denmark and Norway, and that was amazing. So there's a lot out there for you to go see.
Yeah.
And around. You just got to get there and take a chance and go for it.
Yeah, I'm going back to Oslo in October. In October, I'm going to Portugal first week of October. I've never been there. Can't wait. All my European friends, that's their favorite place. The second week of October, I'm in Paris.
Where's your
hopefully filming that Netflix special.
Mm-hmm.
The third week, I'm in Oslo, and then I go to Galway, Ireland, the last week of October, and then Amsterdam the first week of November.
Why not a Netflix travel? A camera should be following you all over the place.
They should be, actually.
What's going on here?
I talked to them about that very concept, and everyone seems to be looking for diversity now.
But okay,
we'll see what happens after this Paris special.
And by the way, you take an Elvis doll with you all over the place?
No. That was years ago. No,
okay.
No, that was before I met my wife.
So you're
retired.
Now
you take
Elvis.
Your wife.
Yeah, now I take my wife, exactly. But women are beautiful in Scandinavia, and that's because the Vikings didn't bring back any ugly one.
Yeah, you over there.
Wow.
Bertha, yeah.
Well, listen, Tom is playing Punchline. You have one show each night this weekend?
Yeah, can I just mention what a joy it is to do this show not hungover with fresh stitches?
If it's any consolation, you were absolutely wonderful, even though it was clearly a bad point, but it was the entree to a great...
I'm impressed.
But my life forever changed the last time I was here.
Yeah,
and I shared that moment with you guys. You were the first people that I talked to about it.
Yeah,
you
know? Tom's
I went literally straight from the hospital to do your show.
If you missed the beginning of the interview, Tom was here 4.5 years ago. He had fallen down drunk and busted his face open. And from that day forward, he came in just hours after being in the hospital, came here, did our show. And from that day forward, he hasn't had a drink or touched any drugs since then.
And I kind of love that I have a scar on my forehead now, because like anybody can get a tattoo.
Yeah, right. Scars are badass.
Scars are really badass.
If Indiana Jones had a tattoo on his lower back, it wouldn't have been the same as that cool chin scar that he's got.
That's true.
There you go.
Well, listen, Punchline tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. The shows are 8 p.m. or 7:30. You want to check that and go to punchlinephilly.com. And get your tickets. So welcome back to Philadelphia. And glad you're
Thanks,
doing so Prince. Well, Tom.
Yes.
It's nice
Thanks,
to see you.
Guys.
Tom Rhodes, everybody.
Yeah!
And Yay. Follow his Instagram account. Those pictures are fantastic. We'll post that so you can link off our website. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Ghost. Chris Stapleton. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dunkin' Donuts has ice cream-inspired iced coffee, and it's in the flavors you love. Dunkin' Donuts is the official iced coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, as well as the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. But you can stop by your greater Philadelphia area Dunkin' Donuts this summer. Why don't you try their ice cream-inspired iced coffee? Yet they have delicious ice cream flavors the flavors you love, like pistachio, cookie dough, and butter pecan. The only problem is, which one are you going to choose? For some, it's cookie dough, and only cookie dough. For others, it's definitely, absolutely 100% pistachio. And then there's butter pecan, and that is sweet, sweet butter pecan. Dunkin' gets it. You love your favorite ice cream flavors. What is your favorite? What is your favorite flavor? If your favorite Dunkin' iced coffee is pistachio, then it's made just for you, just the way you like it. Grab a delicious iced coffee on your next Dunkin' run. It gets you running and keeps you running all day. America runs on Dunkin'.
Going, going, gone. It's the final days of the switch to Sprint and get four lines of unlimited for $25 a month per line with the fifth line free when you...
This summer. Surprise! Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Let's get into the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by McGuff Bus Company. Do you have your New Jersey CDL and are you looking for a change? McGuff Bus Company offers guaranteed hours, health benefits, and they pay industry top dollar. So visit McGuffBus.com for more information. We begin the Bizarre File with the story of a Florida man.
Florida man, Florida man.
So a Florida man was standing in a fire and chanting before he picked up a stick and started swinging it at officers while possibly on drugs.
So he's standing in a fire.
In a fire.
Yeah. And the police were trying to rescue him from the fire, but he didn't want to move.
Well, on Friday, officers arrived at a home at around 1:30 a.m. They found a man completely naked in the front yard. He was holding a knife. John Hennessy is his name. He was chanting and dancing around a fire in the front yard. Hennessy was apparently at one point standing in the fire and chanting gibberish. He also threw a rock through the window of a nearby home.
They said he was repeating, "Go Grease Lightning."
Hennessy dropped the knife, and he was holding the picked up a large wooden stick, swinging it at officers.
Yumma, 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 yumma.
Officers electronically... officers electronically subdued him and placed him in handcuffs. All the while, police said Hennessy was chanting in an unknown language.
Poopy doop.
Poopity scoop.
Poopity scoop.
Hennessy was arrested on 2 counts of aggravated assault, 4 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, and 1 count of criminal mischief. Police later determined Hennessy had possibly consumed psychedelic mushrooms.
No.
He was taken to a hospital for treatment before he was taken to the county jail. His sister, Heather, told reporters that her brother was burning everything, screaming nonsense, and it was all in some other language, and she didn't realize that he was naked until police arrived. So they got him. He was speaking that weird language.
Poop-dee-scoop.
Yeah, the whole time.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop.
And standing in fire.
Scoop-dee-poop.
Yeah.
Poop-dee-scoop.
Well, he's basically... like lighting a bag of dog crap and sticking it on a doorstep. He just did it himself.
But to me, that's a terrifying sight to see. We saw that footage of that guy running into the bonfire at Burning Man last year.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's really harmful to you.
A driver rode off a priceless Ferrari just minutes after picking it up from a rental dealership. The clip, filmed in the city of Wanling, China, shows the female driver spin out in the $700,000 Ferrari 458 after losing traction in slippery conditions. Footage shows the woman slamming into the side of a BMW and causing a pileup after careening through the central reservation of a busy city center highway.
Jeez.
Moments before the crash, a clip believed to have been filmed by the woman herself from the driver's seat allegedly shows her bragging about the rental car. In the short clip, thought to have been filmed, like I said, by her, she's waiting at the light. She points at the camera at the Ferrari's dashboard and says, "First time driving a Ferrari, this is truly the most amazing feeling." Now, traffic cameras on the road shows a woman suddenly swerving out of control and slamming head-on into a metal traffic barrier and a BMW X3, which also collided with an unsuspected driver of a black Nissan. In spite of what happened to be appeared to be a low speed crash, footage taken by witnesses in the aftermath of the accident showed the front end of the Ferrari completely destroyed and its airbags deployed. She and another female passenger were not seriously hurt.
It's a wholly other experience than anyone can anticipate.
This is weird. Who leaves a house just lying around anywhere? That's what police in Dover, Delaware are trying to figure out. The Dover Police Department says someone abandoned a prefabricated home on a two-lane road blocking traffic. God.
Just left a house in the middle of the road.
Uh-huh. The department shared pictures of the home, noting this is not a joke. Police advised drivers to use alternate routes until the house could be moved yesterday. So this just happened yesterday, and I don't know what the deal was as of yet. I don't think so.
If you lived here, you'd be home by now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have time for maybe two more. Let me see. All right, I like this one a lot.
Boopity scoop.
A wasted driver nabbed at nearly three times the legal limit, blamed being impaired by downing a jar of pickled gherkins.
That's what got him so lit up. It was pickled gherkins.
That's what he's trying to say.
The pickles, I got it, yeah.
Marcel Fortuna said that he had stopped, had sipped a single beer when he was pulled over by cops. Defending his breath test fail, his lawyer, Ian Beeston, said, I don't know if I'm helping his case, but he did eat a full jar of gherkins as well.
Wait a second. I had gherkins, of course.
The sheriff replied, with what? White wine vinegar? he had 59 micrograms of alcohol in 100 milliliters of breath, and the limit is 22, so he was way over the limit. All right, and we'll do one more story, and we will wrap it up. Let's end with this one. Police say a quick-thinking bank teller in Ohio convinced a suspected robber to hand over his own license. Authorities say the man walked into a Huntington Bank in Columbus, gave the teller a note saying that he was armed and demanding money. The teller gave the man a stack of cash, but then he demanded more money from the electronic cash recycle machine in the bank's lobby. Police say the teller told the man the machine needed a driver's license in order to dispense the cash.
That's brilliant.
So he handed it over to her. License led police to the 51-year-old man who was arrested and charged with aggravated robbery and threatening with a deadly weapon.
I'm sorry, this says you have a gub?
A gub. No, that's gun. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. As we get ready for Wawa Hoagie Day, which is taking place around lunchtime today, around noonish on Independence Mall, I have a $25 Wawa gift card.
Whoa!
For those who maybe can't make it out. Caller number 22 at 215-263-WMMR. We can set you up with that. So give us a call right now. Both Casey and I will be on location today serving up lunch. It's absolutely free. Lots of activities. Come down to Independence Mall. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hi, this is Laura from Woburn, Mass, and I would like
to become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
What's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, Kanye West selling his pet-friendly Soho apartment comprised of two separate apartments joined together for $3.2 million. To sweeten the pot, Kanye threw in his own solid gold poopity-poop scooper. Floyd Mayweather showing off his brand new $18 million diamond-encrusted watch made by the world-famous Jacob & Company. Hello. Mayweather told reporters that he purchased the watch yesterday morning, quote, at exactly 11:05.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Long Island Medium star Therese Caputo and her strange husband Larry are moving ahead with their divorce. Larry Caputo says that while he still loved Teresa, he got sick and tired of her always knowing when he was spanking it. That's your Hollywood trash.
All righty. We'll find an answer, I believe, if we go to the phones. In which movie did Shaq audition for but did not get? 215-263-WMMR. And I'll go to, it says here, Kalen. Hey, Kalen, you there?
Actually, it's Julie Jerkoff.
Julie Jerkoff. I'm so sorry.
Play that.
Dude, I love that you brought that up. All right, Kalen, do me a favor and tell me what movie that Shaq tried out for but didn't get.
It's The Notebook.
The Notebook.
Yeah. So beautiful. So beautiful.
Hang on a second, Kalen. We are going to get your information, and we will take care of you with a prize that we have, and it's a pair of tickets to see the world's best soccer clubs return for the International Champions Cup. And don't miss the greatest tournament of on U.S. soil as Juventus takes on FC Bayern at Lincoln Financial Field, and that's on Wednesday, July 25th. Tickets at internationalchampionscup.com. Did you ever find it, Case?
I don't know if it's not labeled Julie Jerkoff.
Okay.
It
should be labeled Julie Jerkoff.
All right, well, if we can't find it, we can't find it. It's okay.
I'm so mad at myself.
Look under graduation. It wasn't a commencement speech.
Okay.
It was a graduation. That took place, and these things are in order, in the alphabetical order that you enter them into our system.
Sure.
And sometimes we forget. We've got so many clips and drops and all that stuff from over the years that we forget how we've labeled them, and they're in the system somewhere.
Is.
But, we have it now. This is at the graduation ceremony.
Julie Jerkoff. Forgive me, Kirkoff.
And there you go. All right. So thank you, listener Kalen, for reminding us about that. All right. It was a little while back that we had this guest in our studio. We all just absolutely loved our conversation with this gentleman, and something very important has happened since then. I believe we told him that he needed to be in the Hall of Fame.
And it has happened.
And sure enough, he broke the color barrier for the NHL and now is going to be a member of the class of 2018 for the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Willie O'Ree.
Yeah!
To the show. Willie, thanks for coming on again.
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're great. And the question is, how are you, sir, after hearing that news?
Oh, just absolutely fantastic. I was partially crying and laughing at the same time when I received the news. I mean, I can't tell you how I felt.
Wow. We can only imagine. Your story is elaborate and full of highlights, too many to talk about. I encourage people to seek out information about you. But when we were here, we were just impressed with how your passion for the sport has not waned at all, and how you are such an emissary for the sport and encouraging younger people to be a part of it. And now to get this just has to be a wonderful culmination of everything.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've got so many phone calls, emails, texts from friends all over. And the only thing I can say is that I'm just so very, very pleased and so very happy. You know, when I retired from professional hockey in 1980, I wanted to give back to the sport something because I felt that I had something to give back to. And when I found out that I was going to get involved with the Hockey is for Everyone program back in 1996. It was just something that I really enjoyed. Even the first week, I said, this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, going on to my 21st year, I feel that it was just like yesterday when I first started.
Yeah. I love professional sports, all professional sports. And records are always made to be broken. And I love that about the competition as well. But there's one record that will never be broken, and that is the being the first at something, right? So,
yes.
So forever, for as long as time will go, there will never be a first in your particular category. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, when I just being a young hockey player, and I started playing hockey at the age of five, and thanks to my older brother, who was not only my brother and my friend, but he was my mentor. And as I was growing up, and then when I was 14 years of age, I decided I wanted to become a professional hockey player. And I asked him, there are things that I need to know. And he said, well, first of all, you have to devote yourself. If you're going to play, you have to commit yourself. And so when I went away to Quebec my first year back in 1954, Phil Watson was a coach, and I made the team. And then, the second year I played for a team for the Montreal Canadiens in Kitchener, Ontario.
Yeah.
And, back then, none of the players wore any helmets, no face shields, no cages or anything, and pucks and sticks were flying around. And, I'm just out there in the ice playing and in front of the net, ready for a deflection, and there was a slap shot, and a puck ricocheted off the stick and come up and struck me in the right eye, hit me flat, broke my nose, and cracked my cheek. And I remember dropping down to the ice, and then the next thing I knew, I was being placed in an ambulance and taken to the hospital.
and Dr. Henderson was the surgeon and came by and stood by my bedside in the recovery room and said, Mr. O'Ree, says the impact of the puck completely shattered the retina in your right eye, and he says you're going to be blind and you'll never play hockey again.
So he didn't really know what you were about and how that wasn't going to be an issue.
No, he didn't know the burning desire I had about playing hockey. The goals that I had set for myself were to play professional and hopefully one day play in the NHL.
Just a quick question. Let's make it two questions. Who called you to tell you? And B, did you believe them initially when they told you you were being inducted?
Well, I've been working with Brian McBride, and we're working on a documentary, and he just happened to be in my home, the day of when I got the call.
Yeah.
And he said, gosh, well, he says, it looks good, but he says, if you get a call, that means you're going to be inducted, but if you don't get a call, you're not. So anyway, they said they'd call. If you get the call, it's going to be between 12 and 3 o'clock.
Oh, man.
And so a little past noon, and, I'm waiting, and I'm pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth. And all of a sudden, about 10 minutes past 12, the phone rings, and I pick the phone up, and the first voice I hear is Lanny McDonald. And then he says, yeah, I says, I'm here with John Davison. And he said, how are you doing, Willie? And I said, oh, fine. He says, well, I've got some news for you. And he says, you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Well, when he said that, I mean, I grabbed my wife and gave her a big hug. Brian McBride, who has never cried for 25 years, he just broke down in tears.
Oh, man.
I was half laughing and half crying. And it was just a wonderful moment when he said that.
That's sensational.
What a touching story, Willie. When you were here in February, this is Nick, by the way. I jokingly called you a pussy.
I remember.
Well, I had the pleasure of walking you out to the elevator, and you gave me a nice elbow to the ribs on the way out, and I can categorically state that you, sir, are not a pussy. And I just wanted to congratulate you personally on making it to the Hall, because like Casey said, it's an amazing thing. What did you think about this season with the Vegas Golden Knights? It's their inaugural season, and they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. Nobody in the history of professional sports in North America had ever done that before, making it to the finals in their first season.
I know. I'd been watching them all season. And I went over. I was over in Las Vegas for that fifth game when the.
Do you need to get that?
No.
Okay.
My wife will get it.
All right. Go ahead.
It's me on the other line.
It's the only game that I had the opportunity to see. But oh my God, what a night it was over there. That building and those fans were so wild, and just it was a great game. Great game to watch. And the thing was, there was only a goal difference during the game. There wasn't two or three goals.
Yeah.
There was just a goal difference, one shot, and it could have just turned it around.
Wow.
But they have nothing to be ashamed about. They played well. Great team that, were picked up. And the coach did a fantastic job, just absolutely fantastic. To be an inaugural team and then come into the league and then be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, it's an incredible feat, no question. Willie, with the induction coming up, what do you know of the ceremony that'll take place, and when does it happen, and what all will you be doing?
Well, first of all, I've got to get a speech together, so I'm going to get some help from a couple of good friends of mine. It's going to be in Toronto. The date is going to be the 12th of November.
Okay. Well, if you need any inappropriate jokes for your speech, just let me know. I'll get you set up.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming back to Philadelphia, and when I get there, I look forward to coming on and talking with you again.
We'd love to. You've got so many great stories, but we were just so tickled and excited for you. That we definitely wanted to touch base and give our congratulations to you personally and just hear about how exciting it is.
Yes.
Nice. Well, congratulations, Willie. And we'll definitely have you come by when you come back to Philadelphia.
Wonderful.
Enjoy
Thank
this.
You,
you've earned it, sir.
And have a nice day.
All right, you too. Yeah.
Willie O'Ree, guys.
So cool. How great is that? How awesome is that? I think we were telling him why. I think I remember saying, why are you not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's astounding.
And sure enough. That's fantastic. I love that, man.
What I don't know. He said secretly under his breath, he said, you guys should be in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Well, guess what? That didn't happen.
You didn't get the call.
No, we get the call.
Actually, the inductions were like 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't get it?
No, nah. We didn't get it. But I think we're put on the list to, like, even it out. You
right,
know? Like,
right.
Just to sort of
it's like these three are probably going to really win. We need another.
We don't want anyone.
We
got to
throw another show on
but
there.
But someone. A show that's not going to pose a threat to the ones that we really want to win.
But at least we have a purpose.
Right.
You know, I'm okay.
We're filler. We're packing material.
No. All right. We need to do music news, and we should do that right now.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you by Armor Metals and Recycling in any of the construction trades. Well, Armor Metals, yes, pays top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, and peripheries. 8300 National Highway in Pensauken or call 856-665-5715. Alice in Chains has set Rainier Fog as the title of its 6th studio album, with the LP slated to arrive on August 24th.
As in Mount Rainier?
Yes, because they recorded this in Seattle for the first time in more than 20 years. So the band has also shared a second single from the record, and it is called So Far Under. And this follows the one you know, which arrived earlier this spring. Singer and guitarist William Duvall said about So Far Under, it's about feeling completely up against it, outnumbered, surrounded, facing seemingly unbeatable odds, and being really pissed off about it. It was inspired by personal circumstances as well as events in the wider world. But it's not as resigned to defeat as it may seem. There's still room to flip the script, he said. Jerry Cantrell told Rolling Stone that the album's title track is a tribute to the Seattle music scene that launched his band, of course, Soundgarden and Nirvana and Pearl Jam and others as well. He said, this song is a little homage to all of that, where we came from, who we are, all the triumphs, all the tragedies that lives lived and so on.
You know, the song's really beautiful on the album Rutledge Streets. I don't know if you guys heard that one. It's really good. Because it's ironic, because none of the streets they mention are in Rutledge.
Yeah, I would love someone to write a song.
Rutledge.
The streets of Rutledge. Not unlike the streets of Philadelphia.
Wait a second. Yeah. None of these streets are in Philadelphia.
Well, two of them. Rutledge, I think.
Not enough, man.
What?
No.
No.
Not enough.
Not a one of them is in
there. Yeah, there was. Yeah, you said one of them was.
Okay. Moving on.
A public memorial for late Pantera and Hell Yeah drummer Vinnie Paul Avenge will be held this Sunday. I'm talking about it.
Come on, dude. Someone is dying here.
July 1st at Bomb Factory in Dallas, Texas. Fans interested in attending Vinnie
Paul.
A public celebration of life must receive a wristband in order to end Bomb Factory. The musician's funeral will be held on Saturday, June 30th with a private service. And following the services on Saturday and Sunday, Vinnie will be buried alongside his mother and brother.
Wow.
Of course, Pantera
so
guitarist Dimebag Darrell Abbott. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, especially, you know, with Dimebag dying the way he did, and this is it's just really depressing. And the fan base is so loyal and so rabid, you know, so I guess they have to, you know.
Yeah.
They can't have everyone come down to the event.
I forgot how, you know, somebody pointed out it's him, his brother, and his mother. So their poor father has seen all these people pass.
And I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, that type of music is not my love. And, like, I don't know how I would react, let's say, if somebody from Phish had passed away. And
but you can put that in, you can frame that. I mean, listen, we talked about it one time, these iconic. I was massively into Bruce Lee when Bruce Lee died, and I mean, it floored me. I was something like this is it affects your life. It becomes part of your pop culture. It's part of your enjoyment. You know?
I was more floored last year by Chester Bennington's death than I was Chris Cornell's, which is weird because I probably have more of a closer musical connection to Chris Cornell than I do to Linkin Park. But for some reason, that one hit me a little bit
harder.
You
never know how it's going to affect you.
And then Walter Becker, you know, later on that year, because I'm a huge Steely Dan fan.
As am I, yeah.
Yep. All right, I have time for just one more story. 30 Seconds to Mars singer Jared Leto, we talked about this earlier, has been cast as Morbius, the living vampire, in an upcoming Spider-Man spinoff from Sony Pictures.
Gonna suck your neck.
The film will be called Morbius. So here you go. We were wondering earlier this morning if it was going to be a Spider-Man film or not. No, it says here it's just called Morbius.
It's like Venom.
And will be directed by Daniel Espinosa, who helmed last year's sci-fi thriller Life.
Oh, that was actually good. That was with Ryan Reynolds and
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Morbius was created in 1971 by writer Roy Thomas and artist Gil Kane, with the character first appearing in The Amazing Spider-Man number 101. The character was a scientist who tried to cure himself of a blood disease, but was transformed into a vampire-like being.
Didn't work. Now I'm a blood sucker.
What are you going to do?
Suck your neck.
Who became at first a Spider-Man villain and later an anti-hero.
Now I'm intrigued by this because there was a series of comics, and I have actually this one of the statues in my collection back there in the office, Vampire Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So, the vampire as a superhero, like Blade.
Vampires ain't so bad.
Yeah. There's some good ones.
Yeah.
Was Dracula?
Dracula?
Was he a bad guy?
He was bad.
Okay. Yeah, he was bad.
Was he kidding me?
But he was very seductive and, he had some other...
A big dong.
Attribute. He had a big dong.
Did he?
I don't know. If you want to see a really wonderful telling of the story, Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, starring Gary Oldman as Dracula.
The film's expected to start production later this year and will follow both Venom in October and Spider-Man Far From Home, which will premiere next July. All three films are part of a mini Marvel universe being created by Sony around Spider-Man villains.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. All right, that's it. That's all I got for you in the music news. Not the bizarre file. We already did that.
The bizarre music.
Mm-hmm. How about I give away some movie screening passes for Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yes.
I'll take three callers, and you can go see this on Monday, IMAX 3D screening at the UA King of Prussia, and it will be at 7:30. You will need to be there no later than 7 o'clock. How about we set you up? 215-263-WMMR. Three callers, you get it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a second. Don't miss this because letter of the day for the word of the week prize when we return.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Metallica and Fuel on 93.3 WMMR. That show for MMR's 50th finale concert for our birthday celebrations. Thursday, October 25th. And you got to listen up, man. I'm sure we're going to have tickets and exclusive stuff eventually.
It's going to be amazing.
When we get a little bit closer to that. It's ways off October 25th, but keep that in mind. And we're pretty stoked that Metallica directly involved with the birthday of MMR. So we got to do a couple things and some thank yous. Thanks to Mr. Tom Rhodes, who was here this morning. He's going to be performing at Punchline tonight, Friday and Saturday. One show each night. Go to punchlinephilly.com. And big deal for him to be back in town. It was 4.5 years ago, the day that he did our show, that he quit drinking and drugs. No, it wasn't us. It wasn't our fault.
We were such a good example.
Yes,
weren't we? Came to that epiphany, right?
No, but he had an incident the night before where he busted his face open at a bar somewhere down on Sansom Street, and his life changed that day that he came in here to our studio.
He only said one thing that kind of like, I don't want to say rubbed me the wrong way, but I looked at him sideways, is that he said, He did it the manly way, which is, you know, he just quit on his own. And I, you know, listen, if you are, I don't mean to turn this into something
serious. I
don't
think he meant it that way.
Yeah, but I just want to say it's manly to ask for help and to reach out for help
it's
as well.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's okay to ask for help.
Thank you, Tom Rhodes, for being here. And also thank you to Willie O'Ree.
Yay!
Now a member of the Hall of Fame, or will be later on this year, the NHL Hockey Hall of Fame, which is really, really cool. So congratulations to him. And he wants to come back by here again sometime. We'll be happy to have him by.
He says he wants us to have the award here, store it here.
It's going to be nice to be able to see it and touch it every day.
Yes.
So we'll see how that plays out.
I just took that away.
And thanks to our Warriors, Kathy Romano and Casey Boy, for their performance today in Bucksco versus Delco. The score now stands at Kathy, 1,030 points, and Casey, 1,170 points.
Another two contention-free contests.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Well, no,
what?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to jinx anything.
I'm going
to win tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning,
you were going to say last time you were, I was in the lead last time going into the final day and you won. Is that what you're going to say?
Were you?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't remember, to be honest.
Neither do I.
I don't know.
Tomorrow morning we wrap it up. It will be exciting. I guarantee
Thank
you that.
Freaking gosh.
All right. So before we do anything else, via the magic of broadcast equipment, we go live to Atlantic City, New Jersey, and one Mr. Pierre Robert. Pierre.
Hello there.
Hey.
Good day.
How are you, man?
Oh, it's great. I'm well, and what a great competition the Bucksco Delco thing has been, listening to it all the way down the Atlantic City Parkway. And the various strategic moments and technical challenges, it's been quite something.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. But nothing made you want to get out of town quicker than hearing that, right?
No. I actually held you all the way to the casino. I'm here at the Hard Rock, and
nice.
The signal held all the way here. So it was a great moment in broadcast history.
We were seeing video from the outside of the Hard Rock and some of the stuff on the inside. It looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, you know, they're working with the essential structure that was the Trump Taj Mahal.
Yeah,
which was not known for its understated nature in terms of its decor.
Yeah, it was an ugly building.
It
yeah.
was ghastly. All right, just hideous, yeah. ghastly, plastic gold and fake. You know,
yeah,
all that stuff, Taj Mahal kind of stuff. So what they've done. You know, you see the giant guitar. It's in the circular drive, and then everywhere it looks completely different. And inside it looks completely different as well. It's definitely taken on a rock characteristic. And I haven't been that far around yet, but it so much so that to officially open it in 20 minutes, they're going to smash guitars on the stage. So I think it really is entering a whole new era, and it's also a new era for Atlantic City because, you know, the Trump Taj Mahal closed and several other casinos closed. And so for workers and for the city itself, this is a nice boost in the arm.
Nice. Excellent.
What was the Revel is also reopening. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's being called now, but so two casinos are actually opening today.
Nice.
Yes, Excellent. That's right. We are, sir, broadcasting live. Keep moving now.
What?
Yes, that's very nice. Don't point that thing at me. Very nice. That's nice. Move along. Thank you.
All right, Pierre, all right. Here's what I like to do. If they're going to be doing that in 20 minutes, I'm sure you want to try to carry that live on the air. So why don't we go ahead and get the letter of the day from you, and we'll move things
yes,
along.
Yes, indeed.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
L. As in letter.
All right, man. And we have one more to go. We have that tomorrow. We're going to give away a four-pack of floor seats for the WWE Live Summer Slam Heatwave Tour at the Wells Fargo Center on Friday, July 6th, plus four WWE prize packs. And you can see Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Nia Jax, Matt Hardy, and the Philly debut of Ronda Rousey. Tickets starting at just $20 at Wells Fargo Center, Philly. .com. So I'm sure you got some cool things planned while you're there at the Hard Rock today, Pierre.
Yeah, well, I thought what we would do is, you know, go thematic in terms of rock. So we'll have a block of songs about rock and roll. And we will also have a giant block of some of the bands that will be coming here over the next several months, including, you know, SDP and Bush and The Cult and Third Eye Blind and Counting Crows. There's so many bands that will be coming here. So we'll make that into a couple of blocks as well. And we saw our old friend Larry Mullen, who runs the Hard Rock in Fort Lauderdale, and he used to run the Borgata, and was hugely responsible for turning the Borgata into a major player in terms of its rock and roll presence. He will be joining us at some point over the course of the day here at the Sky Booth. We're in Radio Row. There's like 7,000 radio stations. But we're at the very end of them, which is kind of cool. And here comes a nice chef. Hi.
Hey,
are you cooking something today?
I'm supervising.
Supervising. Can I get some good coffee and vegetarian food?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. God bless you and Godspeed. And so it should be a fun day of broadcast and et cetera.
Cool. Give Larry our best. We haven't seen him in years, please.
He's a great guy.
He is.
You know, he really, I think he single-handedly injected rock and roll back into the city of Atlantic City.
Excellent.
So he's involved in the whole Hard Rock structure and has come up from Florida. And apparently this is going to be, I guess, the biggest one they have. And the stats are gigantic. So I've got a lot of stats to go.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
All night last night, was in my girlfriend's bathroom, my damn brains out. But hey, look on the bright side. At least it was a nice lightning storm. Oh, by the way, fuck go!
Next message.
Casey Boy on Instagram.
Oh, I gotta give up my documentation.
There was a famous Philadelphian that said this. It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit. And keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Stop with this pity party bullshit. Bring that Delco trophy home.
Next message.
Power change. Really shabby. At Trump Bowersville. Up against Smedley and Commodore. No fair. I call no fair. Go, let's go.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.